about.
Base is loaded, bottom of the ninth. Are you going to step up? Oh, yeah. Because it's winning time, you magnificent son of a bitch. You go in there and show them. Make mommy proud of her big boy because he's the best.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
Cross-promotional spots for a monster truck rally to be read during non-stop rock blocks? No thanks, TJ. Never again.
Look, Z-Man, I know you're not happy about what happened back then, but I had no choice. Those traffic updates gave us critical mainstream support.
And all we had to give up was 1 hour of non-stop rock.
We never could have held on to that power rush hour. People just weren't ready for that much rock with so little talk. The 9 a.m. compromise allowed us to bring back Get the Lead Out Friday. In 96, the ratio of rock to talk was 3-1. Today, it's 5-1. And yes, someday, God willing, it will be infinity.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
God's disgusting mistake.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Still plenty of time to turn it around, of course.
Roll another one.
I have to admit, I have no idea what this
just
is.
Just like the other one.
Who knew that we already out
this
to do that?
This seems to be about to quit.
Oh,
ha-ha! Another year.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I played the seven.
Roll another one.
Let's blow some tiny minds.
Just like the other one.
Yeah, we're going to have a summer splash.
This one seems to be about to end.
This is magical.
I don't have.
I love my English girls.
You lose! Get out!
But don't bogart that joint.
Yeah, don't talk to strangers on the bus.
Just pass it around.
That's not correct. That is invalid. Completely invalid.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Isn't it dark out there? Here it is.
Just pass it on down.
And now,
it isn't funny.
It's pretty funny.
It really isn't.
It kind of is.
I can assure you, it isn't funny.
Our feature presentation.
What do you think the Armenian comedian is doing right this second?
If he's up, he's smoking a bowl.
I miss that guy. We should have him back in, don't you think, Bean?
Well, I feel like it's a little soon. I think we just had him in 6 months ago.
Yeah, I miss him.
I'm not quite ready. I'm not quite ready for Sam yet.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday morning. It's the 16th of Rocktober.
Right. Got a great show planned for you today that we will get right to. First, though, Subway is having a bad year.
You could say that.
Would you say?
Yes.
I mean,
I don't know of anything past your spokesperson, but yeah.
Spokesperson has sex with a couple of underage girls, and all of a sudden it's a black eye on the whole company, first of all. Then I don't know if you heard about Dead Mouse appearing at a Subway restaurant. Oh, I'm sorry. It was a dead mouse that appeared at a Subway restaurant.
Very different.
This is Lincoln City, Oregon, earlier this week. Matt and Jay are friends who showed up. Matt ordered an Italian sandwich to find a dead rodent, a full mouse in his sandwich.
A full mouse?
Yes, not a part, but
wow.
A full mouse. He put the picture on Facebook, and he said, it's the funniest thing I've ever seen, but it's also the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. I laughed because I was like, there's no way this just happened. And I was thinking, doesn't it seem like the guy who – it was in the lettuce. The guy who doles out your fixins for your sandwich, you feel like would see a mouse in the lettuce, but maybe not, I guess, if it's covered just so with the leaves, right? I guess it's possible you just pick it up with a – you know, with tongs or something like that, and you might not see the mouse.
I can't imagine you wouldn't see the mouse. And by the way, don't make a sandwich right in front of you?
They do.
Aren't they standing right there?
But they get the, you know, they get the spinach. I guess it was in the spinach. They get the spinach in bags from a supplier, and then they just dump it into the bin, and then they just kind of pull it out with tongs and throw it on your sandwich. So, I mean, look, obviously they didn't see the mouse because nobody intentionally would serve a mouse.
Well, I don't know. That's I think you may be wrong there. Maybe it's some jackass. Yeah. I think so. I don't know that it could be a complete accident, a full mouse.
It's a little mouse, and it's big spinach leaves. So, anyway, they did offer – I mean, I'm looking at a picture of it right now.
Right.
They did offer the man a refund and or free sandwich. So, he seems fine with it. He's not suing or anything like that. They also consulted the health inspector and doctors, and they said, although it is not appetizing, the risk of somebody getting sick in those particular circumstances are very low. So, that's thing one. That's in Oregon. Thing two that happened just this week in Alaska – is actually pretty awesome. There's a 35-year-old woman named Nikki Abrell who was high on spice. Chip, I don't have to tell you about spice, right?
Oh, totally. It's all day, every day.
Right. It's similar to marijuana. It's an herbal mixture, but it's like synthetic marijuana, and it gives you – there are some crazy side effects that go along with it.
Right.
Can produce hallucinations in some people and other side effects. Well, she goes into the Subway store, and she is fully clothed when she walks in, but she goes immediately to the restaurant and takes off all of her clothes. She was in the bathroom.
Right, I support this story so far.
She takes off all of her clothes. She's in the bathroom, by the way, for as long as 2 hours, according to people who were interviewed afterwards. When she emerged from the restroom, she was completely nude. Then she proceeds to tear the joint up. Oh. People described her as, quote, a little crazy, said Police Sergeant Sean Henry. She disrobed, went fully nude, then kind of just went nuts, started breaking furniture, destroying the store, knocking over computers, ripping the ceiling down, spraying a fire extinguisher all over the restaurant, broke just about everything you could find.
And their description was what? Maybe a little crazy?
A little crazy,
she went a
right.
little crazy.
A witness, Tina Ayana, said she was picking up a sandwich when she saw the woman trashing the restaurant. I thought there was a fire in the restaurant when I arrived because it looked all smoky in there, but it turned out she just set a fire extinguisher off. I didn't want to get anywhere near her. And here's where it gets unfortunate. She was smearing feces all over stuff.
What you want.
That's not what you want in a Subway restaurant.
Who's hungry?
Maybe covers up the smell of the mouse, maybe. I don't know.
Mm.
She is currently being held in custody in an Anchorage jail, charged with third-degree criminal mischief, harassment, and resisting arrest. She had previously 2 DUI convictions back in 2007 and 2009. But what – look, I was hoping we'd talk to Dr. Drew this week because I wanted to ask him about spice and other drugs like this. I mean, how does this work with the mind?
Yeah, I don't know. We were talking about that with bath salts. I don't understand how that happens.
Are you just not aware of it, or are you being compelled to do this behavior and you can't stop yourself?
I would imagine you're not aware of it.
So when she sobers up, cleans up, she's going to say, I did what?
I did what? That's not possible.
So anyway, that's what's going on the Alaska subway there in Anchorage. And by the way, there is a cell phone video that somebody shot through through the restaurant.
She hot?
Somehow you're interested. I mean, you know, for a crazy lady who's smearing feces all over everything at a restaurant, she's attractive, yeah. If that's quite a category.
Well, I mean, yeah.
See, this is what's awesome about guys, is we can hear this story and look past that behavior and go, well, she's attractive. It's okay. So anyway, so good luck, Subway. Hope you have a better weekend.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeMicho, shall we?
Come on, Kev Dog, get some.
On the program today, we have the Movie Beat because it is Friday. We have R.J. Bell, also because it's Friday, with his picks for the NFL weekend. Mm-hmm. We have Dr. Ken Jeong talking about his new show, Dr. Ken. Mm-hmm. We have...
Who's ever going to believe the dude from The Hangover as a doctor?
I know, isn't that crazy?
That's ridiculous casting.
So that's coming up as well. We're going to talk to Matt Money Smith about the baseball game last night that didn't go quite the Dodgers' way. The Sweet Life with Muse... today. We're going to give you some more tickets for that. And Michael Chiklis, one of our favorite guests, is going to join us in studio to talk about being the new boss on Gotham. So that's coming up. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Are we losing people, Kevin? What's going on? We had that guy Ralph Garvin, remember? Then he left.
He's on vacation. He's coming back Monday.
And then Allie started doing show business. She's gone.
She's taking today off. She's coming back Monday.
and then Ted Stryker just steps in. I guess
Stryker has a tail.
Tail.
He's a new guy for as long as he'll do it. I just nobody wants to work with us anymore. I know what the deal is.
Hey, Stryker.
Hey, Stryker.
Good morning. I mean, if Kevin or Bean were gone from the show and someone said, hey, would you like to sit in for Kevin or Bean? 100% relaxation. It's filling in. But filling in for Ralph is.
Yeah, it's pretty
you
tough.
You can't. It is.
Yeah.
You can't. It's almost impossible to fill in
Let's
for Ralph.
Let's hear your Pacino. That's where it starts.
I got no Pacino. I got no Pacino.
Yeah, he's a specialist.
He is. Yeah. And he's on Family Guy, uh-huh. and then he's in a gambling movie, and he's on Family Guy. He just does a lot of good stuff. He's
right.
He's Ralph. And then another
he's
thing.
He's in Lavalantula?
Huh?
He was in that movie?
I've never heard of that.
No.
What channel was that on?
Sci-fi.
You, okay.
What do you
miss Lavalantula?
Yes. I'm sorry.
Oh, dude, you're not living.
I watched sci-fi.
You saw Sharknado, though, right?
I love Sharknado.
Okay, so this is lava-spewing spiders. It's ridiculous. But he plays a pirate. Okay, so what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I mean, this is so G-damn. I saw wildlife driving here today.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
I mean, do you guys ever get used to this time? It's nuts.
I mean, it always sucks.
Yeah.
If that's what you're saying. Like, this time of the day, no one should be up.
And is anybody listen? I got
Very
to work
few.
In 9 minutes. Normally, it's 33 minutes.
Yeah, I know. It's great.
So I can screw up. If I'm going to screw up, do it now.
Yeah, okay. I would say so.
All right.
Let's punish the other people that get up early and listen to us.
And then I
by so giving them the worst showbiz beat of the day.
Right.
Yes, we're, so far, I think it's going okay. So Allie is not here, so I am here. It's just you and I, Kevin, in this room.
Uh-huh.
And Chip
and
is here
Chip,
as well.
Right.
Hello, Chip. You're very tiny.
Yes.
That's very true.
All right, so today is National Boss Day, and I would just like to say to Kevin and Bean, I guess you're the bosses today, so thank you for having me in.
It's a weird thing, but okay.
And I would like to give
me some coffee.
I've never even tried coffee. Did you know that? Never tried it once in my life. So I've never I saved money by not going to get the coffee.
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't even know how to process that.
Everybody's tried everything once to just determine they don't like it.
Nope, I've never had coffee, peanut butter, or watermelon.
All right, make a note of this, Kevin. What? We have to carve out some time later.
It's stuff like that that you just can't get your... Earlier, when you say something like it, go, I can't really... Am I making sense of what he's saying? No peanut butter, no watermelon.
Or coffee, correct.
Right.
What little kid doesn't have a peanut butter sandwich?
This one right here. This one, I had cream
cheese
and jelly sandwiches.
Was somebody in your family allergic?
Not at all. No, my brother, just so you know, my brother had a hamburger for dinner every single night. Even when we had hamburgers, he had a hamburger every single night.
All right.
It was a good house. We lived in West L.A. I rode the RTD to school.
Yeah.
Ate cream cheese and jelly sandwiches.
Cream
got pushed
cheese
around.
And jelly sandwiches.
Yes.
That sounds terrible.
It wasn't that good.
Do you have to be in some way damaged to work at this radio station?
Of course. And you have to work
in
radio.
Like you do.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. What do you got for showbiz?
All right. Well, I don't know if this is showbiz. It kind of is. This is just because it's National Boss Day. I would like to suck up to Bean. Bean, the Hollywood Christmas Parade, your boys, Penn and Teller, are the Grand Marshals.
Okay. I'm surprised that they would do such a low-rent event, but I hope they have a good time.
I would love to let you know who's co-hosting.
Yes, please.
Is it you, Ted?
Nope.
Oh.
It is Eric Estrada.
Of course. He's a feature entertainer each year.
Dean Cain.
All right.
That's good. And Montel Williams. That is the world-famous, long-running Hollywood Christmas Parade. Bean, can I get you out from wherever you live to come out for that? We can stand on the boulevard and wave to people?
No, I won't go to it in person ever again, but I am sad that it is much harder to find on television than it used to be. It used to be a big deal. Remember, Kevin? They used to be on TV all the time.
And we used to bring in highlights because it was always... The A-list actors weren't there, and then the B-list, and then the C-list, and then most of the D-list wasn't there. And then you just go, okay, I've never heard of this person.
Right.
It's pretty low rent.
So basically you're saying I'll probably get a hosting job there soon.
I'm stunned you're not already doing it.
If you just show up there, they'll give you a microphone. I think that's how it works.
Ted will host any event, by the way. Seriously, bat mitzvahs, birthday parties,
what's
funerals.
Isn't it a bat mitzvah? A bat mitzvah.
It's bat mitzvahs are for girls, and bar mitzvahs are for boys.
Bean, we can talk about this later because I know we don't have a lot of time now, but there's a reason why I have been hosting anything that comes along my way the last 3 to 4 years.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's because I'm making up for lost time because there was some time where I did not do the jobs or could not do the jobs. And now I feel like I like doing the jobs. I still kind of stink at it, but I'm a little better than stinking completely at it. Okay. And I'm enjoying it.
I like it. I like that you shoot
for,
that
for
high.
For folks who don't know, Ted flies every weekend to another music festival, and he'll, you know, co-host from, you know, Austin City Limits or from Bonnaroo or from Lollapalooza or wherever. He's the guy who's doing the, you know, the live stream and the interviews and stuff like that. I mean, it's a big, long weekend of work that you volunteer for.
Yeah, but it is. I don't volunteer. I get paid, actually, but it's still...
But, you know, I mean, you offer to do it. You agree to go.
Yeah. And it's fun. I mean, you guys remember when people would have to pay to stream festivals online.
Right.
Now they're all free. Yeah. And it is fun. All right, one thing before we go to a break and before birthdays. Bernie Sanders was in Burbank on Wednesday at Priscilla's Gourmet Coffee. His bill was $16.25. He left a $2.44 tip, which is exactly 15%. He is a tipper. You guys may be talking about tipping today.
We are.
He enjoys tipping. That's Bernie Sanders right there.
It sounds like he's fiscally responsible as well.
Yeah, it's weird that he would do $2.44.
Yep. And obviously he's a coffee drinker, so I'm not voting for Bernie.
Yeah.
Yep. David Zucker, celebrating a birthday today, is 68. Actor Tim Robbins is 57. Our friend Flea from the Chili Peppers is 53. John Mayer is 38. I am Stryker, and I just ruined the showbiz beat.
Kevin Bean Lister Chance writes in, Stryker, unbelievable. There's no effing way. What the heck is wrong with you? I demand that Beer Mug or whoever bring in some coffee, some peanut butter, and some watermelon right now. Unbelievable. This needs to happen today. He's referring to the conversation we were just having with our friend Stryker, who's in on the showbiz beat today. A few minutes ago, he mentioned to us that in his life, he has never tried coffee or watermelon or peanut butter. And that is hard to understand. We were going to talk about something else, Ted, but seriously, how damaged are you?
All right, let me ask you a couple of qualifying questions. You're not allergic to peanuts.
Not at all.
Okay.
How would he know?
Good point.
Well, I like eating peanuts at Dodger games. I like those.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, you like peanuts. Why not make the jump?
How did you not – you have to – don't you actively try to not taste those things? At this point, hasn't everybody just – eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, a piece of watermelon.
No, as I mentioned.
Tasted coffee.
Nope.
But I'm saying, have you actively avoided it? It just never came up in your life?
It never came
up
in my life.
That's not possible. Is that possible?
It's not possible.
It isn't possible.
Stryker.
Yes.
When you started going out with your friends at Denny's at night when you were 20, and everybody else got coffee. What made you not say, yeah, I'll have a cup of coffee to go with my eggs and bacon, too?
It is the heat of the liquid. It is the time it takes to consume it. It takes too long. I don't like the smell. The color freaks me out. The peanut butter texture, the smell, I don't like that.
Oh, it's a texture
thing. And I know there's seedless watermelon now. But it just looks like it's just too much of a hassle and dirty to eat, and I don't like touching the food. I don't like germs. I don't like that stuff.
You know how difficult it could be to eat water.
It is. It's a pain in the ass.
How are you with hot tea?
I've had it less than 13 times in my life.
How do you know that number? Could you be more specific?
Because the first time I had tea was probably. I think the first time was like 2.5 or 3 years ago here at work. I wasn't feeling well. And one of the phone ops said, hey, we have this tea. Do you want to do it? I'm like, fine, I'll do it. And it wasn't that bad. And then probably 12 times in the last 3 years, I haven't felt terrific. So I've had the tea.
And how did you do with the temperature of the beverage?
Well, I had 4 hours in here listening to Sublime. I was fine.
All right. So coffee.
Yeah.
It's just it's too hot. It takes too long. But you've never even tasted it?
Nope, never even tried
it. It's based on smell that you don't?
Smell, the heat. I don't like hot things. Again, it just takes too long. I just like to, let me get this and let me move on.
I understand that as a policy.
Yes.
But I don't understand not
and
ever.
I grew up with not a lot of coffee drinkers around me. My friends, Bean says, when you went to Denny's at night, yes, I was at Denny's, but I was having Coca-Cola.
Drunk.
No, I was having Coca-Cola and the food
That's
and coffee. No one or we never, ever, ever had coffee.
All right. By the way, it might be interesting to hear from other Kevin and Bean listeners who have commonplace foods and drinks that they have never one time put on their lips. We'd love to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. Or you can text us at the number 2KRQ25767.
You put
what
food
about
on your
butter?
Lips?
Well, it goes through. It gets on your lips as it goes into your mouth, Kevin.
I see. All right.
What about peanut butter? Surely there was somebody in your family You grew up in America in the 20th century, right?
Yes, I did, Bean.
Okay, there was somebody in your family who was eating peanut butter. There's no question that peanut butter was in your house. How did you end up avoiding that?
100% we had peanut butter in the house. I avoided it because I didn't like it, and instead of putting peanut butter on my bread, I put cream cheese on it with the jelly, and then all of a sudden it was a routine. Hey, here's sandwiches. My brother Sparky had peanut butter and jelly. I had cream cheese and jelly, and we were off to school. Then we came home. He ate a hamburger every single night, and I pretty much ate regular food that wasn't watermelon. And that's how I just – Bean, the smell is sick. And I hated the sight of mashed potatoes. We had a lady named –
The sight.
The sight, the smell, all of it. We had this lady named Martha babysit us. She forced me – this was like abuse. She forced me to eat the mashed potatoes. I threw up all over the table, the mashed potatoes and green Gatorade.
Did you grow up in a circus family? Are your parents carnies?
The west side of LA is very close to that. Yes.
What kind of an insane upbringing did you have?
How about peanut butter cookies?
No.
Don't be ridiculous.
No, Bean. No.
Are there a lot of foods whose texture you find unpalatable?
Not necessarily. But you know what I tried for the first time about 1 year ago is lobster.
Okay.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
A year ago, you tried lobster for the first time.
Yes, a year ago.
Okay.
And it was pretty good. It was damn hard to eat, so I don't think I'm going to get it again. But it was like,
it's ridiculous. But you had it the one time. That's enough.
It's too much time.
And I don't think I was getting the best lobster. It was at a buffet that had a steak there, and it had just sushi and an egg omelet bar, and then they had the lobster. I'm like, I think I'll try it. It was not bad.
You were a crazy man.
I was.
Look, the truth of the matter is every single one of us has a food that we've never tried. But rarely, I think, are they as commonplace as the ones that you're describing. Like, I wouldn't be surprised at all if we have a lot of listeners who have never had lobster. It's not a common food.
Right, I agree.
That a lot of people have. Everybody has peanut butter.
Every single human being.
Every single human in America has peanut butter. Let's talk to John Michigejo. He's on line three. He's going to get us going here with your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Can you out-freak Stryker? What haven't you tried as an adult? John, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks for being up so early, my man. What's going on?
Hey, thanks, guys. Nice to be on the show. I hear you guys every morning.
Thank you.
So I'm gonna one-up Stryker here. I've never had coffee. I've never had tea. I've never had alcohol. And I've never smoked any drugs.
Are you... Eight?
I'm not eight. I am.
Are you Mormon?
Ding, ding, ding. We have one.
There it is.
Yeah. There you go. Winner. Well, that makes sense. I mean, look, you've got a reason to eschew all of those things.
Sure.
Totally makes sense. You're off the hook. You don't have to try them.
Thank you. I appreciate
we
it.
We ruled that you're okay, John.
We will allow it. Thank you for the call. By the way, I wonder how many people there are who are non-religious people who never tried alcohol just because the shame was put into them by their parents or by school or whatever it is, that it was, you know, going to be the road to ruin and that it was going to turn them into a drug addict, or maybe they had people in their family that had alcohol problems. I wonder if there are a lot of people out there who have never tasted alcohol.
I'm sure there's quite a few.
I can't imagine that there's quite a few.
But I think I do a lot of things, by the way, that you guys may not. Like, I am sometimes scared to walk by people that I see cough two blocks in front of me. I'll walk across the street or I hold my breath.
Is that an OCD thing?
I don't know if it's OCD. Like, I just don't want to. Things that bother me, I'm fine in my life without those items that you named. I'm just – I'm fine.
What if you ate peanut butter and you loved it?
What's going to happen to me?
Best thing ever.
Is it going to give me enough money to retire?
Well, I don't
know,
but it might add enjoyment, a tablespoon of enjoyment to your life every day for the rest of your life.
I feel pretty happy right now. I'm pretty good.
Look, I'll give you an example. Let's go to Nick, by the way. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
I never tried, and this is going to sound weird, just like what you're talking about, I never tried hot sauce until about 2 years ago.
What?
Never put – what's the brand, the popular brand with
salsa,
all
the – what is it?
Tabasco?
You know what I'm talking about. Like Tabasco. Yeah. Never, ever tried it. No interest in it whatsoever. Didn't really understand it. Didn't really try it. One day I thought, I'm going to go crazy here. I'm going to put some Tabasco on my eggs. It was so great that now I don't even want to eat eggs ever without Tabasco. I mean, it's changed my enjoyment of breakfast because of how much I love Tabasco sauce. I'm so glad that I tried it because it's really enriched my life. I'm saying the same thing could be true with you and the coffee and you with the peanut butter.
I'm looking at Stryker's face, and there's just,
it's not happening.
He's perfectly happy the way it's going.
Oh, I am. But Bean, I am so happy to hear that you tried this and that your life is better with eggs and salsa now. I just imagine you at IHOP or Denny's like, I don't have the salsa on my plate.
No, it's hot sauce.
Hot sauce. Sorry,
yeah.
Sorry.
So I'm saying sometimes it's even as a grown-up, sometimes it's worth trying that thing, and you don't know how much it might enrich your life. I feel like you're missing out if you don't try it. I feel like you need to try all three of those things in the next 15 minutes here on the show.
If you had it, I guess I would try it. If you had it, I would try it. But I'm not seeking it out. But I mean, I know watermelon is good, and I know it's somewhat healthy for you, but the peanut butter and the coffee, I don't need it.
All right. We got to take a break. We got some great calls on the line. We're going to talk, when we come back, we're going to talk to a man who has never had bacon. Now, that sounds
unacceptable.
Yeah. Unacceptable and un-American, right?
Right. He should be.
All right, Nick, you hold on. We'll get to the other calls, too. 1-800-520-1067. You're a grown-ass man or woman, but you've never tried what? Give us a call. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. The hilarious Dr. Ken Jeong from the Dr. Ken TV show and, of course, the Hangover movies, Community, so much more, joins us in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, we're talking to our man Stryker, who's filling in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat today. We just found out he has never had a cup of coffee. He's never eaten watermelon. He's never had peanut butter. We're taking your calls on what you've never tried at 1-800-520-1067. Raul writes in, by the way, I'm in my mid-30s, and this year I had my first ever grilled cheese sandwich.
How is that possible?
And now I am addicted. See, this is what we're saying, Ted. Raul has been missing out on the joy for 30 years of a grilled cheese sandwich. Now it's his favorite thing. That could be you with peanut butter.
A grilled cheese just sounds like excitement and warmth and fulfilling, whereas the peanut butter to me sounds like a sticky mouth and time consumption, your teeth and your dental floss and your lips get together. It's just too much of a hassle.
All right, let me ask you one more question about the peanut butter, and then we'll go to Nick's call, and that is, do you have a dog?
Yes, his name's Banzai. Bean.
I'm just sicko.
Wow.
You love goats.
Let's talk to Nick about the bacon. Let's find out what this story is.
Where is that, line two? All right.
Two.
Hi, Nick.
Morning, guys. Morning, Alan.
You've never had bacon?
No. I can't stand even the smell of it, so never tried it.
As a five-year-old, you didn't like it?
Yeah, even when I was a kid. And everybody in my family likes it, so they all give me tons of grief.
How about sausage?
Sausage is fine.
Really? So it's not even that it's a pig thing. There's something specific about bacon.
Yeah, it's something about, I guess, how it's processed. But, yeah, just the smell of it makes me, you know, almost want to throw up.
Isn't that crazy? Do you have any other foods like that, or is it just bacon?
It's just bacon. And depending on how they're cooked, pork ribs.
Okay. So you are a friend of the pig, man. Is it weird for you, Nick, to see how much America has fetishized bacon in recent years? The fact that there's bacon everything, bacon-flavored everything?
It's completely crazy to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, my family's on board with it. Right. So, you know, one Christmas, they got me the giant box that was all of the bacon-flavored salt and, you know, chocolate dip bacon and stuff like that.
Because that's what you do when somebody doesn't eat bacon.
Exactly. All right, Nick, we appreciate you listening. Thank you for calling so much. Let's go to Eddie, line 7, Cypress. Eddie is going to be your mortal enemy, Kevin. You're not going to even want to talk to him when you find out what he's never tried.
Hey, Eddie.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hi, Allie.
Hi. Why is everyone saying hi to Allie, who's clearly not here, by the way? Eddie, what have you never eaten?
Kevin, I'm very sorry. I have never had mac and cheese.
What? Wow, you go right to hell, Eddie. You go right to hell. How? It's the best food on the planet.
No.
How do you know?
No.
But you've never tried it. Kevin could be right.
It could be, and that's great. But I don't ever want to try that. I'm not a fan of cheese at all.
Not a fan of mac?
My last name is McDonald. Ironic, huh? I can't stand cheese, especially like the nacho cheese where it's like boiled over, where it's like very soupy, and what that, where you spoon it out. I can't stand that at all.
Wow.
It's gross. It's disgusting, and no.
I don't get you, man.
The smell of it, the look at it, no.
So when you hear Kevin tell stories on the air, as he so frequently has, about the lengths he will go through to get – I mean, he'll get in fights with people if they won't bring him mac and cheese immediately. It must just – it must drive you crazy.
To me, it's beyond words about the kind of, I guess, idiocy that goes into that.
Idiocy. Please.
All right, Ed, thanks for the call. Let's do one more. And I think Chris L. on line two is winner, winner, chicken dinner. Chicken dinner not included.
We have a coffee. We have cottage cheese. We have apple juice. Mm. Chris, what is it that you don't try or have never tried?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I don't eat cereal.
Okay.
Cereal of any kind?
Ever?
Any kind. Never had cereal.
As a little kid, how do you escape? I mean, isn't the one of the first things you ever eat that's solid food as a baby, isn't it Cheerios?
Well, when I would go to my friend's house, they would all eat cereal, but I would just have eggs or something.
Did you try it? No, you never tried it. Well, why wouldn't you try it if you hadn't tried it and if you didn't hate it? Like the last guy with bacon hated the smell of it.
Well, I saw it sitting out for a while in one of my buddy's bowls, and it was just all soggy, and it didn't look appetizing at all.
Okay, but what little kid doesn't love Lucky Charms, for instance?
And there are 50 different kinds.
Yes, that's right. They all have different tastes. What about when Halloween comes around? How do you get by without any Count Chocula?
Count mother effing Chocula.
Kevin has Count Chocula all 31 days of October. I mean, that's part of the holiday.
Just never had cereal. My parents never bought it. That's all. Never had cereal.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
How about Raisin Bran?
No Raisin Bran. Raisin
Captain Bran. Crunch.
Nope.
Frosties.
Nope. What is that?
I don't know what Frosties
are. Like Frosted Flakes. You know.
Frosted Flakes.
Fruit Loops.
Nope.
Wheaties.
No matter how many we name, he's not had any of them.
Fruity Pebbles.
Well, they're all so different. That's why that's why I don't understand.
Corn Flakes.
Never had Corn Flakes.
Sugar Snaps.
No, I'm more of an oatmeal person.
Have you ever
how about
had
Life?
Have you ever had a Rice Krispie treat?
It's not technically. No Rice Krispie treat.
You're missing out, man. I'm sorry. I know I'm missing out on my things, but you are serious. You are missing. This is children's food that you eat till you die.
But, Ted, you're looking in a mirror right now, son. He is you. As crazy as he sounds to you, that's how crazy you sound to us.
Wow. I'm
both of you need to re-examine your lives this weekend.
You're right.
Is it possible that you've just used some really poor judgment here?
NFL preview for the weekend with our friend RJ Bell from Las Vegas coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock, and our friend Michael Chiklis from TV's Gotham will be here. Speaking of TV, if you loved him in The Hangover as Leslie Chow, if you loved him on Community as Senior Chang, now you can love him for 30 full minutes a week on ABC Friday night at 8:30. The show is Dr. Ken, and Ken Jeong is our guest back on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Doctor, how are you, man?
Fine, guys. Great to talk to you. I'm literally tweeting right now, talking to my boys right now. So thanks for having me.
That is very, very cool. I gotta ask, because you're a guy who's led a twin life as a doctor and as an actor. When did the idea hit you? Oh, my God, there's a way to put these two together.
I mean, this has been in development for a few years, to be honest. And I didn't – it was like a pet project that you never knew if it would get off the ground or not. So – it was one of those things I had in mind for a long, long time, but then this kind of morphed into a really substantial idea right around, I think, after The Hangover, and it became a viable idea. And then last year we developed it for ABC, and they could not have been more supportive, and it definitely morphed into a family show and then like a hybrid family medical ensemble show. Now I look at it just as an ensemble show. And so it was a long time coming, but it was one of those things where, you know, honestly, you never know in life. You never know in this business if it ever gets made. And I remember when we did the pilot 6 months ago, I was like, you know, because this has been in my brain for so long, I was like, oh, just making it a pilot is good enough for me. If we get it, then no one can take that away from me. So the fact that it got picked up into a series and the fact that it's actually aired, you know, on ABC, I always tell my wife last night, I was like, you know what, I've already won. I mean, this actually aired. It actually happened. People have seen it, and they – they can't change their memories.
Well, they might try.
They might try.
I bet you have had to explain to so many people over the years that you really are a doctor. I mean, I bet that must be so hard for most people, partly, you know, a lot because of the kinds of characters you have played, because you've always been in so many ridiculous roles. I bet people just don't believe you when they hear it.
No, they don't. No, I mean, it's one of those things you – and it's something that I don't even bump on. It doesn't even bug me because, honestly, if someone had told me that, man, I'd be like, you know, it doesn't make any sense. Because it doesn't. It doesn't make any sense that I've been in this position. It just kind of organically happened. I always wanted to be an actor, you know, since I was in college. Didn't know if it could happen. Didn't know if it was a realistic enough dream. You know, as an Asian American actor, you know, it's slim pickings, you know. So, and my parents kind of instilled that in me. You just be like, you know, they never denied that I was talented, but they're definitely like, you don't know, as a minority actor, if you can even, you know, if you can get viable work, if you can do it full time. And, you know, this is me in college. I was like, you know, I don't disagree with you, you know. So, here I am, you know, in medicine, pre-med. You got, when you get out of med school and residency, you got a six-figure job waiting for you. And that's exactly what happened. And it was stable with benefits. I was a partner, you know, and I was profit sharing. So I basically left a very stable six-figure job for life to try my hand in acting. And I really got lucky with Knocked Up and The Hangover, and that led to, you know, my own show, and it led to me talking to you guys. It's just kind of, you know, I've been very, very blessed. And you can plan in life as long as you want. You can plan till the cows come home, but still, you know, you just got to be ready to make adjustments. And I've been very, very fortunate, you know.
Now, you also write this show. Is that true? You help write it?
Yeah, I'm a writer and a producer. This is the busiest I've ever been. This is 24/7 for me. It's probably why I'm not in the studio with you guys right now, because right after this, I'm going to go straight to rehearsal, and then after that, read for the network, and then look at audition tapes for the next week's episode, look at last week's edit, and then go to the writer's room tonight. So it's kind of insane.
You're a exactly you're a medium you're a media mogul.
I'm a wannabe who's just trying hard.
All right.
Hey, this is the voice of Ken Jeong here on the phone. We're talking about his show, Dr. Ken, which airs Friday night. That's tonight, 8:30 ABC. I had an observation, Ken, and tell me if I'm dead wrong about this, when I was watching your show, and that is, it was so refreshing to me and such a surprise to me to see that your character, Dr. Ken, has an Asian family, and by that I mean is married to an Asian woman with Asian children. I feel like in the history of TV, anytime there's an Asian character, they're always with a white or a black person because the network's trying to diversify it around. But they're letting you have a full-on Asian family, which seems so much more realistic to me for a lot of people.
Brother, thank you for even saying that, because I try not to make it a big deal on the show, which is by design, because we really try not to trumpet it out loud. But it is, I wanted, you know, this, I don't, at the risk of sounding pretentious, man, I wanted to normalize the Asian American family experience, because to me, we don't make a big deal that we're Asian. We're a second generation Asian American family. And actually, I think my character's wife is third or fourth generation Asian American. So it's because I wanted to mimic my life. I'm married. My wife is Asian. She's a doctor. We're both very Americanized. We're like an Asian American. We're an Asian American family in the Valley with two kids, and we wanted to mimic that. And that's the big directive I have towards my writers. I'm like, don't do any hacky Asian jokes. There won't be a dog joke in the show. They're not going to be. I don't want anything remotely sounding like this was written by a white dude. You know. So to me, it was a reflection of my life and how I talk about my life to my wife in real life. So it's not like where I go, hey, honey, how was your day? Oh, geez, Allison, it's tough being a second-generation Asian-American internal medicine physician in the San Fernando Valley. You know, I didn't want that, because that's not real life. That's not what the show's about.
But can you please use wah-wah?
I promise. I'm going to add that. I'm going to loop that in, guys.
There you go.
Tonight's episode. Right. Hey, guys. What's going on, Dave Foley? Womp, womp. Kevin and Dean, I'm just giving them a shout-out.
Well, you are doing some good work, Dr. Ken. You know we've been fans of yours for a long, long time, and it's such a thrill to see you.
Likewise, you are my wife. When we started dating, you were my wife's favorite radio show. Before I knew about you guys, my wife, I listen to Kevin Bean every morning.
See, that's bad judgment on her part. Well, we're proud of you, Dr. Ken. Friday night's 8:30 on ABC. Thanks for spending some time with us. Have a super weekend, all right?
Appreciate it. Love you guys. Take care.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
We go live to Las Vegas, RJ Bell at pregame.com to preview the NFL weekend for us coming up just after 7. First, though, here's our friend Ted Stryker in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Chip and the King of Mexico and Fung and Allie. This is...
Nope.
Where is Allie?
She took the day
off.
You're Allie. You're her.
I'm Allie.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm Ralph. I'm Ralph, which makes me extremely nervous to be filling in for Ralph, just so you know.
Well, don't screw it up, man.
I'm not. Well, there's a 92% chance I'm going to do that. Number one, I'm a little bummed this morning because the Dodgers are out.
Yeah.
I know this is entertainment. That's entertainment for me. I watch very few games on TV this year because of DirecTV, but I just started to get to know those guys in the playoffs and like them and appreciate them. And of all the teams that beat the Dodgers, it's the Mets. And the Dodgers are out, so they'll go fishing and hopefully not hunting, and then they'll be back next spring, and we will root for them.
Look, they have to win a World Series while Vin Scully is still alive. There's no other acceptable way that this goes. So either Vin has to live to be 100 or the Dodgers need to get better faster.
He still sounds good, and I'm bummed he wasn't able to broadcast any of the playoffs because of his illness. And I know he's coming back next year. I hope he is fully recovered by next year. The guy has been with the team as long as you guys have worked here, right? What is that?
Way longer.
Oh, you've been here longer than Vin has been with the Dodgers.
Yes.
71 years you've been on K-Rock.
Correct. It only feels like that to our listeners.
All right, let's talk about Katy Perry, who sang with a K-Rock band. This particular K-Rock band has put out 10 studio albums. Katy Perry was known as Katie Hudson, but Katy Perry has sold 81 million singles. She sold millions of records. Some of her videos have a billion views. Katy Perry was a singer with P.O.D., payable on death. And she appeared on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno years ago, and she sounded great, and I think we have a clip. Check it out. She's saying, but it sounds good.
How was this unearthed this week? Katy Perry's been famous for a long time. Why are we just now finding out about this?
I don't know the exact answer to that. I think maybe P.O.D. mentioned it. It was I found it on Rolling Stone, and that song is called Goodbye for Now. And Glenn Ballard, who a very famous producer, is the one that hooked up Katy Perry with P.O.D. And P.O.D. has had a great career. Huh. Southside, Youth of the Nation, they're from San Diego. And that's pretty cool, I think. Katy Perry, you know, she was a Christian singer and songwriter before she became actually Katy Perry.
Well, then she got too hot to be a Christian singer. I mean, it just would have been unfair for the guys at her concerts to go and look at her.
All right, so, Bean, because of you and your love of Taylor Swift, and I do trust your judgment,
no,
IHOP, I love IHOP, there are certain things you love in the world, I do too.
She's a bitch.
Nope.
How dare you?
Nope. I had really not a feeling positive or negative on Taylor Swift until I read a Vanity Fair article on a plane a few weeks ago. I'm like, wow, this girl, she is talented. She seems pretty cool. And so I started reading more. She is on the cover of GQ, and she said that Bad Blood, which is one of the biggest songs in the last 12 months or so, is not about the girl I was just talking about, Katy Perry. It is not about Katy Perry. It's about one of her ex-boyfriends. And I started thinking, wow, who has she dated? Well, Taylor Swift has dated Joe Jonas, Taylor Lautner, birthday boy John Mayer, Jake Gyllenhaal, Clyde Tumba, Harry Styles, and...
I think you made one up in there, but I'll take it.
And some other ones. I can't read my writing on who the one other person is. But that's a lot of guys and famous guys she's dated. And now she's dating Calvin Harris.
Yeah, she is.
Right. But she's also 25 years old, and that's what you do in the years between 15 and 25 is you have a boyfriend for 6 months, and then you guys break up, and then you date somebody else. I mean, that's pretty normal. It's just she's in the spotlight, so it seems like a lot because we keep track.
Stryker, if you don't mind my saying, if you're filling in for Ralph,
yeah,
that is not the way he would have handled that story.
How would he have handled that story?
He hates Taylor Swift.
Oh, he does.
Taylor
yes.
would have been a dumb whore somehow in that story if Ralph were doing it.
That was a fail on your part.
Damn it all!
Just putting it out there.
And I said it's 6:40 a.m., 5:40 in the morning here, as I saw wildlife drive and work, I'm like, I would love to fill in for anybody
yeah.
except Ralph.
Yeah.
Except Ralph. love.
That was a fail right there.
Damn, it's a fail, but that's all right. I'm picking a side of the fence. I'm building a house that I am okay with Taylor Swift. I am throwing it out there.
All right.
All right, what time is it? Do we have time for more?
No,
we
have
more. All right, let's talk about celebrity birthdays. Born today, David Zucker is 68. Tim Robbins, who is an excellent hockey player, is 57. Flea from the Chili Peppers is 53. That guy, John Mayer, is 38. I am Ted Stryker, and I just completely ruined the showbiz beat.
Michael Chiklis from TV's Gotham is here. He'll be joining us in studio in about 10 minutes. But first, though, it's RJ Bell time. Hit it, Steve.
'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
RJ joins us from Las Vegas at this time every week on the Kevin and Bean Show from pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. RJ this season is at 60% on his NFL picks on the show. He is 9-6. RJ, tough week for you last week, my brother.
Last week, though.
100%.
Wrong.
100%.
RJ, we knew this week was coming, but how do you explain what went wrong with you last week in your picks?
First, let me ask a question. Did you guys have a production meeting that maybe you would do a new sound effect with the wrong, or you said, heck, let's just use the old one and we'll say wrong ourselves?
Yeah, we're pretty janky that way.
Listen, it was painful. I got to be honest with you. I felt worse about losing the three games because of the listeners than my own bets, which I've never had that experience before. So I'm scared about that. So we might have to pull back a little on everyone betting out there. Bet about half now so I don't feel bad when we lose. But history tells us we got a bounce back coming.
You got to bounce back. All right. Well, let's see what you got for this week. The underdog special, we go with the Kansas City Chiefs +4 versus the Minnesota Vikings. Explain that one to me, RJ.
Yeah, it feels contrarian because KC's 1-4, not good at all. But let's ask ourselves, how bad is this team? And I think if you look at their opponents, they've played very tough teams and they've had tough losses. Remember the heartbreaker against Denver. Then they lost at Green Bay, and they lost at Cincinnati, two very difficult places to play. So when you get early in the season, strength of schedule, you've got to consider that, and KC has had a very difficult schedule. Now the question is, how does KC face the reality of being 1-4? And if you actually look at the AFC, you've got the four outright division leaders right now. Then after that, there's only three teams with three wins. So really playoffs, even though KC only has the one win, they're still competitive for the rest of the season if they can get hot to make the playoffs. So you still got motivation, and you got Andy Reid as the coach of the Chiefs. He is tough, he's experienced, and he's especially good on the road. Last 20 road games for Kansas City, they've lost only 6 against the spread. Underdog special, Kansas City +4 points.
All right. Your best bet, Bills and Bengals. Man, I got a chance to see a whole Cincinnati Bengals game last week when they played against my Seahawks. They have a lot of weapons.
No doubt. And that game, I think, drives this pick. We've got the Bills because the public tends, and we talk about it all the time, to overreact to what they saw most recently. What did they see last week? They saw Cincy with that amazing comeback, and the average fan took notice of this Bengals team. Now, what's been the effect of that is if you look at the early line on this game, so the early line is a week ahead, so it's before last week's games. The Bills were favored by 1.5 at home over the Bengals. Now the Bills are 3.5-point underdogs. Why has that changed? Just 1 week's worth of games has happened since, and the driver has been Cincinnati and all the public love because of that win. But actually, it's a negative. Not only has it placed a premium on the line for Cincinnati, it's an emotional letdown this week after that big win, and it's a physical letdown because teams favored after Seattle, 6-18 only against the spread. Why? Because Seattle is such a physical team. There's a hangover effect the next week. And Cincinnati is not a very good road team. They've had those big wins at home. So I really think there's a lot of value. Best bet on the Bills +3.5.
Very interesting. And then Sunday Night Football, Colts and Patriots. This is a matchup a lot of people are looking forward to because of the history of those teams, particularly in the last couple of seasons. Right, RJ?
Yeah, there's a narrative out there. This is our big game pick, and we're going with the Colts plus 10. Now, let's think about this. Vegas is unequivocal that New England is the best team in the NFL. Right. So I'm betting against them, right?
Yeah. They're not only undefeated, but they're blowing everybody out by 30, 40 points a week.
Best team in the NFL. They've dominated the Colts. In the four matchups with Andrew Luck during that era, the Pats have won every game by at least 20 points. And Belichick, who is devious with his schemes on defense, in those four games, Luck has thrown 10 interceptions. And we know Andrew Luck is less than 100% because he's missed the last two games. But remember, a team is never as good as when they look at their best. They're never as bad as they look at their worst. And this 10-point home underdog for Indy is just so extreme. Entering the season, the Colts were a top-five team. It's only been a handful of games since. And if you go back the last 15 seasons, there's only about five double-digit home underdogs a season. So are you really telling me the Colts, who were a top team entering the year, are one of the five biggest mismatches of road favorites against a home underdog this season? It just doesn't make any sense. It's just too much of a reaction to New England's dominance and the Colts looking so bad recently. So hold your nose, but we're going to take the Colts plus the 10.
Wow. RJ thinks that game's going to be a lot closer than the rest of America does. But as you have pointed out so many times before, betting against the way America thinks is the way to make money sometimes, right?
Well, if you look at this game last week, so it's another example where you could have bet this a week ago, the Colts were only 5-point home underdogs. So yes, the Patriots looked good last week against Dallas and the Colts, but the Colts looked good too. So the idea this has gone from 5 to 10, it's just illogical, but it's part of that narrative, lastly and quickly, that, oh, because of Deflategate, New England's going to look to really crush them. I agree with that, but you can only try so hard. This is a Sunday night game. Both teams are going to try to the max, and I think getting double digits is the way to go.
Colts plus 10 versus the Patriots for Sunday night. That's the big game. The best bet is the Bills plus 3.5 versus the Bengals. And the underdog special from RJ Bell, pregame.com in Las Vegas, is Kansas City plus 4 versus the Vikings. Let's hope for a better week this week, RJ. You have yourself a great weekend. We'll do it again next Friday, sir.
Thank you.
Give me a little of that theme song from the TV show Gotham. In its second season, Monday nights at 8 on the Fox Network. Here's one thing I know about Gotham and the Gotham City Police Department. You don't necessarily want to run that thing. It seems like you're asking for it if you take over that job. But I'm happy to see our friend Michael Chiklis in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the new guy running the police department, Detective Nathaniel Barnes. Welcome back, Mr. Chiklis. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Until now. You know, that's been a really crap job until now.
Until now. You're turning it
that's
around.
That's right.
Well, I mean, this season is the rise of the villains. They call it that. But when you walk in and take over that entire world, it looks like.
Yeah. I mean,
because you come on strong.
He's the pushback to the rise of the villains. And he's, you know, what good would the rise of the villains be if it didn't turn into an all-out war? And you have to have another side fighting.
But I just think, and here's the thing, and this goes to real police officers in the real world, too. They look at the most dangerous situation possible, and they go, sign me up for that. I want that job. I mean, if I don't apply for any job where the last guy got killed at work. I just don't. I mean, I just pass on that job because it's too dangerous.
It takes a particular kind of person. You know, that's, you know, you got to be incredibly courageous, incredibly brave, and have a couple of screws loose, possibly.
How long ago did this all materialize for you? When did you realize, when did they ask you if you wanted to be a part of it, or how did it come down?
Like in the beginning of the summer, you know, I went and spoke with Bruno Heller, who's the executive producer showrunner, and we just had a great conversation, and I don't know why, you know, this was something I never would have expected that I was going to do. It's just when we sat down and discussed what he was thinking and what he wanted me to do and where it might go, it seemed like a perfect fit. It just seemed really right for me, you know, and something that I – everything in me just said you should do this.
That's so interesting to me, Michael, because we talked to a lot of actors. You know, we just had Colin Hanks in earlier this week, and he was saying the same thing. One thing he knew he wasn't going to do was Fargo, for instance. And then he reads the script, and he meets with the guy, and it takes over. And you go, oh, my God, this is great. I got to be a part of it. It sounds like that was your experience with Gotham. It was like you couldn't pass
right.
it up once you did it.
Yeah. I really did not expect that I was going to do it. I was like, you know, I mean, I'm coming in on the fourth episode in the second season. It doesn't seem like – but, I'll read it. I mean, these guys are really good guys. I mean, I'm – and then I read it, and I was like, oh, you know, this is good. And I can see this for me. And also, you know, this is a really beautifully shot show. It's really lush, and it looks like a big feature. Phenomenally
It does look like a movie each week.
Every week. Yeah. And these guys are highly professional crew, amazing. And on top of it, I have a lot of old friends on this show. I mean, going back to the commish, I mean, Donald Logue was a guest star on the commish in like 1991. So we've been friends for many, many years, and we cross over with shows like Sons of Anarchy, and we just have a lot of friends in common and everything, and I love that guy. He's just a
Were you looking for a TV show even?
I was looking for a great opportunity. You know, I
Wherever.
Think, yeah, you know, I don't sort of say to myself, oh, I need to do a film right now. Or, you know, I'm looking for the next thing. And whatever that might be that feels right and feels like something I can contribute to and flourish in. And this is, you know, my wife and I looked at each other and this is a little bit of give the people what they want too, you know.
Sure.
I think a lot of people are not going to be mad with the notion of me playing an ass-kicking cop.
Yeah. But one that plays by the rules this time.
Yeah, right.
Did that appeal
to different.
You?
He's certainly not Vic Mackey, and he's not the commish, and he's not the other cops that I've played. This guy is Nathaniel Barnes. He's very, very different. And I don't mean to be a tease, but what really compelled me is the conversations about where this might go.
Okay.
Yeah, because
we've just gotten a taste. All we've gotten is the introduction so far, but you knew
right.
a lot more.
But by
than
the
that
way, the introduction, I have a clip of it where you pretty much tell the people the way it's going to go. I mean, you changed, it feels like you changed the tone of the show completely in 1 week.
He changes the culture of the GCPD when he comes in. Again, it was a place where it was very unfriendly to be in law enforcement, and particularly to be the head of law enforcement there. And this guy has come in, you know, and totally changed that.
Here's a clip of your character talking to the GCPD.
From now on, any officer, detective, rookie, or clerk who breaks the law will not just lose their job, they will go to jail. If you turn a blind eye to crime, I will bust you. If you fail to help a fellow officer because of cowardice or apathy, I will bust you. What the hell are you still doing here? Don't make me mad.
What a tight ass. Hey, forgive me if this is a dumb question, Michael Chiklis.
Yeah.
Is there a comic book backstory with Detective Nathaniel Barnes, or is he new, made up for the TV show?
He's new and made up for the TV show, but that's – Barnes – you know what's great about this thing, and this is the other thing that compelled me, is just – you know that this show sold in the room. I mean, when he walked in there and said, here you go, it's a prequel, and we're going to follow – James Gordon before he became Commissioner Gordon when he was a young cop, so that we can tell the backstories of all of the superheroes and supervillains in the DC universe. I'm an executive. I go, you're picked up in the room.
That's automatic.
Say
right?
no more.
Yeah, you go like, okay, here we go. And I think it sort of went like that. I think that they bought it in the room because immediately you recognize, okay, hundreds of characters, incredibly compelling stories,
yep.
years of stories to tell, an instant sort of built-in audience geeking out. Yeah.
Batman's got to be the most popular comic book character of all time, right? I would
Did
think.
You say Batman?
Yeah.
Batman, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I could top five for sure. I mean, right there with the likes of, you know, Superman, Batman.
And Archie Andrews.
You know, Superman, Batman, and Archie is how I look at it, the top
Superman,
three.
Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, you know, Iron Man. Sure. You know, these are the top, the thing.
Well played.
Huh. It's clobbering time.
Exactly.
Why Come on, you love that. See, it was not augmented. People thought that was computer, and it was me.
Did that make you angry?
Yeah, it did make me angry. People were like, wow, I love what they did to your voice. I was like, what do you mean? They didn't do anything to my voice. That was me.
I'm hurting my voice
to do
that.
I'm killing my throat to do this, to bring you entertainment, and you're crediting some machine.
But it was me.
That's sort of good. Weird.
Nah.
That is cool. Let me also say this, by the way, about the hundreds of storylines and the many beloved characters. And this is where Gotham has been amazing. What's his face? Robin Lord Taylor is the greatest. I mean, there's a lot of great penguins over the years. He's so incredible. But then you see what they're also doing with Catwoman, what they're also doing with
is what I mean. It's a comic book geek's freak out.
Yeah. And the casting is brilliant, though. I mean, yeah. I can't believe how great these casting and the way they interpret these characters as young people is just, I mean, it all
Well, you
works.
Know why? They're all into it. Like, Robin is, like, you should have seen him at Comic-Con the other day. I mean, I think he was as excited to see the other characters and the other people in other shows and as people were to see him. And like when he introduced the fact that Paul Rubens was going to play his father, yeah. You should have seen the kid. He was like, Paul Rubens is going to play. I was like, wow. Simmer
and they look
down
so
there,
much alike,
buddy.
Too, don't they?
My God, they look totally like father and son. It's a home run. You know,
Again,
that's what I mean about the sort of Cinderella slipper feeling of this gig. My foot just slid right in, and it was a perfect fit immediately. And those you have to go for. You have to go like, you know, I can't like.
Can't not do it.
I got to take this pair of shoes. This is fitting, you know.
That's the voice of actor Michael Chiklis here on The Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about, among other things, Gotham, Monday nights at 8 on Fox. The second season has been great so far. He plays Detective Nathaniel Barnes. A quick break. More with our guests in a moment on K-Rock. Our friend Michael Chiklis back in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show from TV's Gotham, Monday nights at 8 on Fox. So you're shooting in New York. Have you shot a lot of your stuff out there, Michael?
This is only the second time I've ever shot in New York in my entire career, and I'm having a blast.
Was that a positive or a negative when you first started thinking about how much time you were going to be spending away from home?
Well, obviously it's a negative because I'm very tight with my wife and kids, and you know, it's manageable. We discussed it, and they've been very good about, you know, like here I am in LA, you know, I haven't gone more than 3 weeks without seeing my family. And plus, they came out with me in July, and they were there all of the, you know, from the middle of July all the way till the end of August. Then they came back.
Is it possible that they're a little happier than you think they are?
That's entirely possible.
Awfully fast to let Dad go.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're also, you know, I feel like, you know, this is the first time. I've been very fortunate. I shot The Shield here for 7 years. I shot Vegas here. I shot No Ordinary Family here. I've been here for a long time shooting here. And I've been able to raise, like, my oldest daughter, Autumn, who played my daughter in The Shield, I was here for all of her formative years, and, you know, again, she worked with me on The Shield, and now she's a senior at USC, and she's just turned 22 years old, you know, which is...
That little girl is a senior at USC now?
Yes, she's a beautiful young woman who's about to come into this business as well. And, you know, my youngest is 16, and, you know, I they get it now. You know, I feel like, you know, they're solid. And I mean, Odessa still needs my time, and I come back, and I'm here. And I'll just tear a strip off myself to do it. It's fine. But, you know, the other good thing about Gotham is that it's a huge ensemble.
Right.
You know, so, I mean...
You don't have to be in every scene.
No,
right?
Every scene. I'm maybe in 25% of the show, a third of the show, which is another wonderful aspect of this show. Is like, for the first time in my career, I have a life. I mean,
yeah, it's not on your the show is not on your shoulders either.
I've always been number one on shows, so it's you know, it's just a different experience. You're working 14 hours a day every single day. And on this one, you know, 3-4 days
you
a show.
You show up and yell at people and go right back.
Exactly. Right. Well, I come and do some really, really good work with a bunch of friends. And then I go and go, like last week, I went to see Steely Dan. I went to see a couple of Broadway shows. I'm like having a life. I'm like, can't even believe
it. Live it up, man.
I'm walking around Central Park. I can't even believe it.
How much time do you ever get back to Boston anymore?
Yeah, I'm going next weekend, probably, I think, if the schedule holds up. Yeah, because I'm going to go and shoot for 3 days, and then I'm going to go and see my family and my friends and go and do some stuff at Boston University, my old alma mater, and then come back down and shoot 3-4 more days and then come out to L.A.
Yes, we do.
It's crazy, right?
Tell me about Comic-Con. How was that?
Well, Comic-Con in New York is still manageable. It's still fun. I mean, it's not that the one in San Diego isn't. It's just insane.
It is
down
insane.
There.
It's insane,
become so big.
250,000 people.
It's I went last year in San Diego for American Horror Story, and you couldn't move.
Yeah.
It was such a crush of people and pulling at you, and it was a little overwhelming, frankly, even for me. And I'm the wallflower man. It was, you know, I can imagine how some people, you know, just get completely overwhelmed by it. But New York was kind of cool. It was, it's a sort of a different breed of comic book geek. You know what I mean?
And the numbers are small enough that at least they fit?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's much more manageable. It hasn't.
Well, they have a Subway restaurant, Kevin. It's just, it's very intimate. The whole convention, right there.
I don't think it's that small.
I have another question about Gotham, and that is my favorite part of the show. And I am mesmerized by the actors that are playing Bruce Wayne and Alfred. And I love their story. And I love the push and pull on how Alfred is trying to direct him. And I love the realizations that Bruce is coming to as he matures.
Fantastic.
Now he's found love. So it's really going to change when he gets those bad hormones going.
Well,
but
the kid, David, is really brilliantly talented. Actually, all the young actors in the show are brilliantly talented. And Sean Pertwee is another one of the guys who's an old friend of mine. You know, I've known him since the late 90s. And
he plays Alfred.
He plays Alfred brilliantly, if I may.
And we've never seen this kind of Alfred before.
No, yeah. I love that he's making it his own. That's the other thing, is everybody sort of saying, hey, this is my character, and I'm going to do with it what I will. And because it's a prequel, you can do that.
Yeah, the casting of David as Bruce Wayne was genius, because that kid on episode one, I thought, he's so much more mature than I am already.
Yeah.
Like, he just comes, he's a...
Well, by the way, you're not wrong. I mean, you talk to this kid and you go, wow, holy God, he's brilliant. The kid, I mean, he is more mature than me. And I have a 22-year-old. What's happening here? He's very bright. He really is. Sharp as a tack. And you know, I think you're right. I think it's really, really cool the way they've cast this show across the board has been spot on. And again, it just works. Now, I think that they had some trouble in the show. It wasn't perfect out of the gate. I mean, the pilot was amazing, and then they got into this sort of the doldrums of whether or not they were going to be a procedural, and I think that they all were like, no, this isn't the way to go.
Well, they were in the pre-Chiklis era then, though, remember. You gotta understand,
yeah, that's right.
Mistakes
it's all because of me. No, I think that they rightly decided as a unit toward the end of the season, the first season, that no, we need to serialize this. This needs to be an ongoing set of stories. And that's the way people really love to take in their entertainment now. They binge watch. They watch on, you know, Netflix and Amazon and different platforms afterwards, or DVR. And, you know, this is just the way of things now. And I get constantly people telling me, whether it's in person or on Twitter or whatever, you know, that, oh, I just watched 7 episodes of The Shield in like one night, and I hate you because I couldn't go to work the next day. You know, this is what they say. So, and by the way, I'm one of them. I mean, I don't get to watch a lot of television because, again, previously I haven't had a life, but now I've been able to catch up on a lot of things. So I've been binge watching a lot of shows. You know,
golden age, man.
It's amazing, and I'm totally caught up on Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad, and now I'm not completely caught up with some of my other favorites, but
what's the fan response like that
for Gotham? I mean, is it a difficult crowd because they know the story so well, or is
well,
it
you know,
a,
I will say it's a double-edged sword. They're loving it, but it is a double-edged sword, the whole comic book thing, because, you know, they're very sophisticated viewers, and they have very opinionated, and they're very passionate. So I think they're very sensitive to them, Bruno and the guys, the writers. They listen to them, but they take in what they have to say, but then ultimately they have to make the decisions. Otherwise, they'd just be paralyzed. So they do what they have. You know, they tell the stories they need to tell. And you hope that they enjoy it. But I think that this is a really interesting point about that. I think that initially a lot of these guys, men and women alike, the comic book geeks, voiced really a lot of harsh hater opinions about certain things. And as time goes on, they realized if they're too harsh on a show, they end up the show ends up getting killed, or they don't continue with a particular film series, and then it's cutting their nose off to spite their face because they realize, oh my God, you know, maybe we shouldn't be so harsh on this because they won't continue making it. We do, after all, want to see it,
right?
You know what I mean? You can take yourself a little too seriously and critique yourself right out of entertainment.
It must be something for you, though, Michael, and we're almost out of time here with our friend Michael Chiklis.
Was that cogent? Did you?
Yes. Okay. Totally understand. Okay, yes. Good. It must be fun for you, though, not only as an actor, but as a child comic book geek like you were, to now live in a time where there's Arrow and Flash and Gotham and Supergirl and all these other shows on TV, and then think about all the movies.
It's
too,
a little overboard at this point. Honestly, it's crazy that like that's pretty much what's being greenlit right now.
Mm-hmm. Green Lantern lit.
Boom.
No.
Nope. I'm with them.
Nope.
No. Swing and a miss.
Okay. All right.
Wait. Let me just speak to that really, really quickly.
Yes.
I wouldn't have qualified myself as a comic book geek. I was more of someone who enjoyed comic books.
Okay.
And so,
semantics.
Yeah.
Semantics.
No,
quite a distinction.
Come on,
well,
Michael.
Between, 12, 13, 14, I was like, these are cool. I will read these. I will look at these pictures.
It's
this
the
is
word
cool.
geek that you're offensive.
Yeah, well,
by.
I just wasn't geeky about it. There's a difference. There's guys who are like, oh, my God, and they freak out, and that was never me. But I was into them. I liked them. And I think that anything you like in your formative years, any band you like in your formative years.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, who was your favorite band when you were 14? You still love them. You do.
Right.
You hear them and you go, oh, yeah. Yes. Yes.
All right. I have an awkward question for you because we've been arguing Holy about crap. This. The Penguin and his mother. It looks a lot like an affair.
Oh.
It really does. Like, she's giving him a bath and all that. It's come on with that.
Well, I think.
Oh. Yeah, right?
Are you getting a creepy read also, Michael?
No.
No what?
I'm saying no to you now.
You're saying no, you're not going to answer.
That's right. I think that it's a choice. I think that the two actors are sort of going and the writers are sort of going with it in that, you know, I mean, he is an arch villain, right?
Right.
And there's all kinds of psychosis there, right? There's mm-hmm. all kinds
it's,
of...
It's pretty Bates Motel-y, though, at this point. It really is. I mean,
that's what
really
we can't
close.
Figure out. We've had this conversation so many times.
Yeah.
They're doing everything but tongue kiss.
Whoa, it's creepy.
It's creepy.
It is creepy. We can all agree
creepy.
On that.
It's creepy. It is. No, we, yeah. Well, yes.
Gotham.
We're all on the same page
the
there. I could say yes to
all
that.
All right, good.
Monday nights at 8 on Fox. We love you, man. It's always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Michael Chiklis, thanks for coming
brother.
By.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
All week long here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we've been giving you tickets to see Muse at Staples Center December 19th. Tickets are going on sale for that show, by the way, this morning at 10 o'clock. This is our final pair. We want to give to a Muse fan right now at 1-800-520-1067. You call us, and we'll put you on the air just after 8 o'clock. Kevin, what are we looking for this time around?
You have to be familiar with their music. That's all.
So be a Muse fan. That's what we're asking.
Yeah.
All right. Call now 1-800-520-1067. You will earn your way into the Staples Center to see Muse December 19th and qualify for the Sweet Life with Muse, which is that ridiculous prize package we've been telling you all about. So that is coming up. In for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. Here's our friend Ted Stryker. What's going on, Strike?
Well, first of all, being
on
your show.
Can we call him Strike?
No, I don't think so.
I like it.
All right. Sorry, Rush. You know that.
I know.
Being on the show, you know, it doesn't happen that often. It is so exciting to be here with you. And I am so relaxed today because I'm not traveling this weekend. I just do your show for 4 hours and then go do mine in 3 hours for 4 hours.
Right.
It's a perfect day to be on here. And that grand prize, the Muse, the Sweet Life, announcing a band on stage for the grand prize winner, I think creates more of a stomach ache for that person than excitement. Getting up in front of Staples Center, all their they have the money, they have the suite, they have the hotel. Now they got to go in front of 30,000 people who are like, what is this? It's a cool thing, but that's a stomach ache right there.
Yeah, probably.
A little bit.
You just walk up and go, Muse!
Right. This is Muse.
Can I give some advice, and maybe when we do the grand prize drawing Monday, I'll mention this to the lucky winner. Stay away from the edge of the stage there at Staples Center.
Oh, God.
Just hang back by the curtain. And do your announcement.
That was crazy. One of the things what I love on your show when I listen is when you talk about shows that I like. So I'm throwing out some TV shows I like and then get into a story. American Horror Story Hotel, I love that show.
Okay.
Face Off on Sci-Fi, love the show. Fresh Off the Boat, Project Greenlight, Pardon the Interruption, Narcos, and then a show on Fox which I am watching called The Grindr. Do you guys watch The Grindr with Rob Lowe? And
very
Fred
funny.
Savage. Yes,
very
Bean.
Funny show. Yes, very
the,
funny.
You're the first person in my existence of life who watches the show other than me.
The Grindr rests.
Yeah, no, yeah, the Grindr rests. Bean, I really want to move in with you, man.
Yeah.
Well, here's the good news for Bean and I and Rob Lowe and William Devane and the stars of that show. Fox has given that series orders for more episodes and grandfathered the series as well, which is on Fox. The ratings are doing fairly good, but they ordered more, and that's good news.
What is Grandfather?
That's the
Stamos show.
Yeah, that's the John Stamos show. Yeah, so he's going to be working, staying out of trouble, doing that. Those are good shows, and the ones that I mentioned, if you don't watch those, have you guys seen Face Off on
Sci-Fi? I have
seen
it, yeah.
Do you like it, Kevin?
Yeah, it's pretty good, but it's one of those that I think is pretty good, but I don't really have that much time for, especially because of sports.
And what is in your top rotation other than sports right now?
The Bastard Executioner.
Okay.
I love Gotham.
Gotham.
I love Arrow. I love The Flash. I love.
You like those long shows?
Well, they're an hour.
Yeah, it's long.
I mean,
it's a long time.
I don't know what to do about that.
All right, this is a story. There's an assistant principal. Her name is Esther Adler O'Keefe, and she's been removed from her position at Southampton High School in New York State because she appeared in a J.R. and Trey Songz music video. She has now been removed. She has new responsibilities with the district. She is not thrown out of the job completely, but she's in the video for Best Friends. And she appears as a homeowner that goes on vacation, leaving the care of her and her husband's house with rapper JR. Of course, you know what happens when they leave the house in the video. They throw a wild party. There's bosomed girls walking around in bikinis. There's twerking. There's grinding. There's drinking. There's weed smoking.
Who's mistaking that for real life?
Some superintendent guy.
Really?
Yeah, it's just another example of overreacting to something. She's in the video. She's not naked. She's not with the weed. She's in a video that's got a lot of views. And now, of course, what does she do? Instead of just saying, no, don't throw me out of my job. She's now had a big apology. And it's just another thing.
Wait,
I'm
she's
overreacting. Yeah, no, she's apologizing, saying, I didn't know what was going to happen in the video. I didn't know there was going to be lyrics of that content. I didn't know there was going to be vulgarity, offensive, demeaning things in that. So she's out of that job. Mm.
So she didn't know it was a rap video.
That's what she says. But of course she knew a Trey Songz and JR is going to be a rap video. And she didn't say, well, what are you going to do in my house while I'm gone?
Yeah.
And I'm sure she was standing 25 feet off camera.
And the sad thing about this is this has zero reflection on how she is as a teacher.
Correct.
But people are going to go wild on her because of this video. And like you said, she's been reassigned now.
complete overreaction. This is a Lamar Odom story, and this story has happened because of Lamar Odom. First off, the guy, as they say on TMZ, has a 50-50 chance for survival. Obviously, it's very sad. The combo of cocaine and the herbal substitute for Viagra, that's what's done him in. Unresponsive all day yesterday. Four vital organs are failing. So, of course, when all that sadness is happening, he's had a tragic life, and he's going through all this, and he's in the hospital, Master P now has a beef with Kobe. And it started because Master P told TMZ that Kobe was a phony friend to Lamar because he didn't help Lamar when he needed it the most. Only to surface at the hospital, Kobe.
Right.
So Master P is talking smack on that. Kobe responded, saying that's insensitive to question his support of Lamar. So now Master P is back with the statement that is the truth hurts, in which he says during conversation with Lamar, Odom would complain how everybody turned their backs on him, even his NBA buddies. Do you guys think it's a coincidence that Lamar Odom is in this terrible situation right at the start of NBA training camp? While that's going on, everybody's tweeting, they're making money, they're with their
friends,
and now he just goes down on the deep end like this?
Meaning he went on a bender because he's out of work.
Out of work, sadness, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the league that he was in is going on without him.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow, that's possible, sure.
It's sad. And a lot of people blame the Kardashians and say, they brought him down the path.
Look, I hate the Kardashians, but let's not be ridiculous.
Exactly. I am totally with you on that. All right, let's check out new releases today. And Bean, new releases are on Friday, which I am very uncomfortable with because I am used to Tuesdays. It's been on Fridays for a while. Are you good with that, Bean?
Hate it. Every week. It drives me crazy.
I knew it. Machine Gun Kelly has an album out called General Admission. Coheed and Cambria, The Color Before the Sun. Leanne Rimes has a new record out. The Brian Setzer Orchestra as well. And celebrating a birthday today, David Zucker is 68. Tim Robbins, who crawled to freedom through 500 yards of S-smelling foulness. I can't even imagine. Or maybe I just don't want to. 500 yards. That's the length of five football fields. Just shy of a half mile. Tim Robbins is 57. Flea is 53. John Mayer is 38. I'm Stryker, in for the incredible vacationing or working Ralph Garman, and I have ruined the showbiz beat.
It's Friday. That means the movie beat coming up this half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't say something bad about my Tom Hanks movie. I want to go see that Bridge of Spies.
Same.
Also, sorry about the Dodgers. Dodgers fans, we'll talk to Matt Money Smith from the Dodgers flagship station AM 570 about the collapse last night and the loss of this series. Better luck next year. That's about 20 minutes from right now. First, though, hey, let's give away some tickets to go see Muse at Staples Center December 19th and qualify you for this sweet life with Muse with a little game we like to call. Well, what do we like to call it?
It's the hardest game in the world, too.
It's the hardest game in the world, too. The revenge of the game, Die Harder Electric Boogaloo. If you thought words were hard, wait till you try music. This time, it's personal.
Mr. Announcer Man is strangely on vacation this week, but filling in, we have Senior Announcer Hombre, who joins the show right now. Hi, Senior Announcer Hombre.
Buenos dias, Kevin y Frijol.
Well, we're doing fine. Thank you. What, for the callers that are on hold and the folks listening at home, how is this game played, please?
We are going to play a Muse song backwards.
Okay. And the caller needs to come up with the name. Okay,
Hola.
That's good. All right, so the caller needs to come up with the title. If you are right, you go into the drawing, and you may or may not win the Muse tickets for Staples Center December 19th. Who's our first contestant, please?
Aha! We have Cindy from Highland Park.
Why are you doing
who's
that?
Who's a mama? Mamacita. Hola, chica.
Hello.
Cindy.
Cindy. Hi.
We apologize for Senior Announcer Andre. All right. Again, if you don't follow his broken English, we're going to play a Muse song backwards. You just tell us what the title is, and you go into the drawing. Good luck. Listen up. We play it once or twice, Kevin?
One time.
Okay.
One time. All right. Listen closely. Good luck.
Dead Inside?
Nicely done.
Beautiful.
Dead Inside.
All right. Well done, Cindy. You hold on. Senior Announcer Hombre, who's next, please?
We got Senorita Carolita.
Hey. It's Carol. It's just her name
Carolita.
Is Carol. It's just really.
Mamacita.
It's just Carol.
¿Qué pasa?
Hey, what's up, party people?
Hardest game, too. You ready for your song?
Yep.
All right. Good luck.
Nice to say, don't you?
Yes, it is.
Well,
no one sounded pretty much the same backwards. All right, hold on.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, 2 for 2, which is great considering how difficult this game is supposed to be. Senor announcer Ombre, who's our next contestant, please?
We have Senor Isaac Cito.
Just Isaac.
You don't just Isaac. Add Cito to everything.
Cito.
Isaac, hi.
Hello.
All right, here's your Muse song backwards. Just tell us what it is.
All their songs are the same forwards as backwards.
I'm gonna go with Supermassive Black Hole.
Nicely done.
Orale. Wow,
this game isn't as hard at all, Senor Announcer Ombre.
Es muy easyo.
Yes. Yes. Right. Yes. All right. Who's our next contestant, please?
Hey, next we have Jerry.
Come on, Announcer Ombre. Stick with it.
Orale, let's go.
Jerry, hi.
Good morning, Kevin Bean.
All right, no pressure, but the three people before you got it.
No pressure at all.
Here you go. What is the name of that song, please?
It's Resistance.
I'm sorry, it's Uprising.
All right, I think we got time for maybe one more contestant, Senior Announcer Ombre.
Es mi hermano Corriman.
Wait, are you now Jamaican too?
He's a Corriman.
How did that happen?
Corriman, yeah.
You're from the black part of the island, or what's happening here?
Hey, Corey.
Hey, what's up?
We're giving away some Muse tickets. You qualify for the Sweet Life with Muse. Here is your song.
Well, that's exactly the same backwards as forwards.
No, it's not.
Not exactly.
It really, really is.
Not exactly.
What's the title, please?
Panic Station?
I'm sorry. Time is running out.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, we did all right with Cindy and with Carol and with Isaac. They are all in the drawing to win tickets to go see Muse December 19th at Staples Center and be qualified for the Sweet Life with Muse. We may be calling one of them back on Monday to tell them they've won, well, you know, the prize package with the suite at the Ritz-Carlton, the suite at the show, the limo ride, the $25,000, and introduce the band. Chip, I think you're picking a winner for us today. Who is it?
The winner is Carol.
Carol, congratulations. You won the tickets.
Oh, my God. Serious?
Yes.
Carolcita!
Yeehaw! All right. Thank you, Mr. Renault.
My dear friend, Russ Leatherman, is the movie man at 6secondreviews.com, filling in for Ralph Garman on the Movie Beat on this Friday. Kevin and Beecham, how are you, Russ?
I'm fantastic. Happy Friday, you guys.
You as well. I just appreciate with all the TV stuff you do that you're slumming it with us radio guys, man. I thought you'd be too big for us.
Yeah, you know what? I'm pretty good looking for radio, but I'm going to get down there with you.
Well, Russ, as you mentioned last week, we are in a beautiful time of year. It seems like every weekend there are must-see movies out, and this weekend looks like no exception. What do you want to start with today?
Yeah, there's so much going on, and it really is. There are great movies in theaters. Let's start with one of the smaller movies, but one that I think is interesting to you guys. It's a movie called All Things Must Pass.
Yep.
Now, this is the story of those of you who know Tower Records, once a huge powerhouse, right? In 1999, Tower Records made $1 billion. In 2006, the company filed for bankruptcy. This is a movie about what went wrong. Let's listen to a clip.
I got a job at Tower Records because that's the only place I could get a job with my haircut.
The whole thing became a phenomenon.
Tower was like the place to work at.
A perfect storm of events was developing.
There was no need for kids to even go in a record store to get their music.
It's the end of an icon.
He fought, but he basically had to cut the heart out of the company.
Somebody's taking it away from us. The bank said, we don't need a visionary.
We had a chance to see this movie early, Russ, because we had Colin Hanks, the director, on last week, and we just loved it. I mean, it really is so well done and such a compelling story.
You know, it's one of those things where when I drive down Sunset Boulevard every Friday when I'm driving into CNN and I see that big empty building, you just think, what went wrong?
Yeah.
How did it go wrong? And I didn't get a chance to see the movie, but does it cover just Tower Records or does it talk about record stores, videos, just the demise of brick and mortar altogether?
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of a bunch of things. Obviously, the internet came along and made, you know, file sharing made it possible for you to get all the music you wanted for free. And that's the primary death knell of Tower Records and most other retail stores. But they also expanded way too quickly. They spent a lot of money that they shouldn't have. They didn't, you know, they made a lot of classic business mistakes as well. But what you really take away is just the passion that the founder, Russ Solomon, had for the chain all those years ago when he started out of his father's drugstore in Sacramento. And the crazy stories of what it was like in the 70s and 80s at Tower Records. I mean, if you're a fan of rock music, you should definitely see this.
Awesome. And Colin Hanks is fantastic. I love everything he does.
Same.
So check that out if you get a chance. There's also something in theaters for kids, probably 5 to 7 year olds. And Kevin, it's a little movie called Goosebumps.
How dare you?
The Movie Man 6 second review starts now.
A kid friendly Fright Fest. Goosebumps is fun, frenetic, and exactly what your little goblins are looking for. Bye-bye.
Some movies good, some movies not so good. All you need to know in 6 seconds flat at 6secondreviews.com.
Now, so you're in. It's perfect just in time for Halloween, right?
It is. This is a kind of a spooky horror film for the kids. And I don't know about you guys, but certainly my kids read the Goosebumps books, love them. Now they've made the movie. Jack Black stars as the author R.L. Stine, who keeps the creepy creatures locked away in the books until they escape, and now they've got to get them all back together. This movie is, it's fun, it's fast, it's frenetic, it's non-stop mayhem. And like I said, it's kind of perfect for 5 to 7 year olds. It's not too scary, so I think that they'll like it, but it's just scary enough. You know, it's sort of the gateway drug of horror movies.
All right.
Is what it. All right. You like that, don't you, Kevin?
I'm in. All right.
This is right up your alley. All right. Let's talk about another horror movie, more for adults. This thing's called Crimson Peak. You guys know about this movie?
Yes.
All right. Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
Pan's Labyrinth, Hellboy, Mimic. A style all of his own. He writes and directs. It's sort of a quasi-horror, supernatural, romantic thriller. It's a turn-of-the-century movie about this new bride moves into a haunted mansion of secrets where things are not as they seem. People may have died there. I don't want to give away too much, but if we have a clip, let's take a listen.
Lucille, stop it. Do we have to do this? Must we?
Yes. You have no idea what they'd do. I would be taken from here. Locked away. You would be hanged. We stay together. Never apart. You couldn't leave me. You wouldn't.
I can't.
Why is everybody whispering?
Well, because there's a lot of atmosphere. See, they're trying to build some suspense. And first of all, Jessica Chastain, who stars in the movie.
She's great.
She's great. She looks awesome. If you know Guillermo del Toro movies, you know that, you know, he has his own style of writing, and a lot of people fans of that, a lot of people not so much. But really where he absolutely excels are the visuals. This movie is stunning from beginning to end. It's a canvas that he paints like no other. I will say that if there's any knock on the movie, is that it's being shopped as a horror film, and it's about as scary as the Goosebumps movie.
Okay.
Right? It's just not that scary, but it looks fantastic. I thought the story was fine. It's just, he's a director who has his very own unique style, and it's awesome to see. So I'm in. I liked it a lot.
Great.
All right, how about a little Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks, a reunion? How's that sound?
I mean, I guess.
I guess if you have to, right? This movie's called Bridge of Spies. Now, I'm sure you guys have heard all about this one. It is directed by Spielberg, stars Hanks. It's based on a true story. It's a story of a 1960s insurance lawyer, played by Tom Hanks, who's asked to help free a U-2 spy plane pilot who shot down over the Soviet Union during the Cold War. Let's listen to a clip.
As for Abel, if he dies in an American prison, the next Russian operative who gets caught might think twice about keeping his mouth shut. And you never know. Abel might want to see the sky again and decide to trade Russian secrets for small American favors.
How can we know this? We little men We just do our jobs.
Like Lieutenant Powers. He's just a pilot.
He was making photographs from 70,000 feet when he was shot from the sky. People in my country consider this an act of war.
Ooh, right. How good is this, Russ? Is this Lincoln good?
I friggin' love this thing.
Good.
I love this thing. It is Lincoln good, and we know that Spielberg is great at the historical drama, but this is a crackling Cold War thriller. You have an A-plus cast and crew. It's solid. It's first class. We don't get that many movies where the pedigree is so good, and it's just it's exciting. It's riveting. It's one of the best movies of the year. You are going to love Bridge of Spies.
Fantastic. Wow. A lot of great choices out there. So Bridge of Spies you like, Crimson Peak you enjoyed, Goosebumps, great for the kids, and you're interested in All Things Must Pass. This is like a win-win-win week for you, Russ.
Hey, how about Steve Jobs and Sicario? There are so many good movies in theaters right now. Perfect time to go check out a movie.
Russ Leatherman is the movie man. Check him out on 6secondreviews.com. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Familia to the plate, and he struck him out. And the New York Mets have won the series. And they will meet the Chicago Cubs in the National League Championship Series. The Mets come to L.A. and beat the Dodgers to win the series.
We have a very sad staff here on the Kevin Bean Show this morning. Christine is kind of slunking around, and Dave is kind of sad. And what's it like for Matt Money Smith, who works at the Dodgers flagship station, to see the season be over? Like, you're 5 minutes away from moving on to the next round, and now it's just done. It's cruel. It's got to hurt, Money.
It's almost surreal. You know, I think after Kershaw won that game four, you just assume, you know, I mean, like, I'm already thinking about, wow, I wonder if they're going to send us to Chicago and to be in Wrigley for that electric atmosphere for game three and four. That'd be awesome. And holy crap, can I imagine going to Toronto with all the hookers and the drugs for the World Series? And then all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, they're going to lose? They're going to lose game five in Dodger Stadium with the likely Cy Young winner on the mound? Like, that's really going to happen? It's just... I woke up... I'm not kidding. Like, I woke up twice in the middle of the night, like, asking myself, really? Like, really, that just happened.
I know. I mean, look, there's no gimmies in sports, and it's tough to win a game, and we all knew it was a possibility. But I think you're absolutely right. Winning that game four in New York and getting the, you know, getting Kershaw off the schneid and then coming back home and having that advantage and having Greinke, who's been looking great. We just felt like it was momentum and it was the Dodgers to win. And it was kind of a shocker, the whole thing. And especially some of the stuff that happened in that game that just leaves a bad taste in your mouth, right?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, certainly when you have a shift on, and any old school baseball fan hates the shift anyway. You could, if you listen to the radio broadcast on our station 570, Rick Monday was livid. You know, here's somebody that play. I mean, an American hero that snatched that flag away from those hippies who tried to burn it. You know, and you could hear just the disdain in his voice over the fact that the shift was on and that led to the tying run. And when things like that happen in a postseason game, you just know that's going to be a factor. And the factor in the outcome, probably not going to be good for the team that's a victim of such a stupid play.
And let's talk about that for a second for folks who maybe don't follow baseball very closely. I mean, basically what happened is a guy got walked, and the runner who was on first went to second and then noticed, hey, there's nobody covering third. So he just stole the base. I mean, that's the type of thing that you learn to never let happen in Little League, right?
Yeah, and, you know, this goes in, and I don't know if enough people are making this point, not to get too, you know, deep down the world of baseball and managerial decision-making, but, you know, Corey Seager's a kid. The kid, they decided to play it short instead of the World Series champion, former MVP of the league, Jimmy Rollins. Jimmy Rollins doesn't make that mistake. Jimmy Rollins knows he's the guy closest to third, and he's responsible for that bag, and he's not going to be asleep at the switch like Seager was, you know, a 20-year-old that just got called up 5 weeks ago to start playing Major League Baseball. So
right.
I don't think that's been mentioned enough. And Don Mattingly tried to kind of euphemize it by saying, well, he's the one closest to the bag, so maybe that's his role there. Yeah, maybe you're right. It's Seager. So that,
right. Speaking of Mattingly, 3 years in a row, you get eliminated from the playoffs. A lot of people are calling for his head now.
Sure.
I know this might be a difficult subject for you being on the Dodgers flagship station, but I mean, it kind of has to be seriously addressed, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I love Donnie, and I can call him Donnie.
Donnie!
Strong! I baseball. He insists. You know, I try to call him Skip or Don. He always says, call me Donnie, guys. So here's the thing. You never hear people call for the general manager's head, and you're certainly not going to hear that considering Andrew Friedman was pried out of Tampa after being, you know, after turning down a number of jobs from a number of franchises that tried to get him out of there, and the Dodgers finally did. But he didn't do Don any favors. He just didn't. You know, the deadline moves were garbage. They tried to get that third starter and refused to give up, you know, one of their prime prospects, depending on who you believe in baseball. They didn't even have to give up their top pitching prospect. They could have given up their second best to get a true third starter, not Matt Latos, who flamed out. The bullpen guy they got was Jim Johnson. He was garbage. It's not really Donnie's fault, you know, when you think
I hear
about
what
it.
You're saying, Matt, but isn't the counter to that you have the largest payroll in North American professional sports? You've got plenty of money. You should be able to win with it.
Sure. I mean, I understand. But listen, you know, you can spend a lot of money on a car, and it can be a crappy car that breaks down all the time. You know, I mean, you can spend a lot of money on a house, and it's a piece of crap house. It just so happens you spent a lot of money on it. You know, I'm not saying the Dodgers, you know, roster was a piece of crap, but it was not a $300 million roster. I think $84 million of that $300 million payroll was being spent on players that weren't even on the team, you know, that they're just picking up the tab.
What happened with Andre Ethier last night? What was that tantrum? I'm not good at reading lips, but what was the argument between him and Donnie?
Because, again, Donnie trying to sort of, you know, disarm the media when it comes to Ethier, who is, bar none, hands down, the most emotional player in that clubhouse. And, you know, Mattingly said, oh, he was upset with an umpire strike call there that got him going. But if you think about the situation, player on second, nobody out, you know, you gotta sacrifice yourself and hit the ball to the right side, you know, and get Justin Turner to third base with a one-run lead, you know, and one out. That's just the right baseball move. So you wonder, you know, after Ethier popped out to left field, maybe trying to swing a little too hard, if Mattingly didn't say something along the lines of, hey, man, you know, you got to push that ball to the right. You got to pull that ball to the right side of the field there, and if Ethier just snapped. And that certainly would not be out of character for him. You know, those are the only two guys and the players in the dugout, because no media is near the dugout or in the dugout during the game that'll know. And, you know, if in fact that's what happened, eventually it'll come out. But for now, they say that's not it. But it certainly seemed like that could be a conversation that might get Ethier all pissy like he was.
Well, it's very sad to not win for Vin. I mean, that's what another thing that a lot of people were hoping for, right?
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, this team, they got no business losing that game. I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from the Mets, away from Daniel Murphy. So help me God, you pregnant mothers out there, you name your kid Murph or Daniel in the next 4 months. We'll have to change that birth certificate. Daniel Murphy is the guy that beat the Dodgers, the guy
yes.
that got them booted from the playoffs, the home run. He's the guy that stole third on the shift when the Dodgers were asleep. You know, he's the guy that hit the single. He's the guy that took the walk. I mean, he killed them this series. And it's not like Greinke gave him bad, you know, gave him pitches right down the middle to hit. I mean, he was hitting tough pitches.
Hey, let's not forget the Mets are a really good team, and they've been in first place the entire season too. I mean, they're not a fluke either.
No, I mean, look, this goes back to the general manager. You know, like I said, the deadline deals the Dodgers made blew. They were hot garbage. The Mets made, you know, they picked up a big time reliever in Clifford. That's a guy a lot of Dodger fans wanted to see the Dodgers get, and they picked up Cespedes, and he was huge.
He was
for them.
Huge.
Completely
in the series,
changed their offense, and you know those were deals made to win a World Series, and it's something that I've been calling for 3 years now. It's L.A. They haven't been to the World Series since '88. I'm sick and tired of hearing the prospects have to be protected. You know, when you have a $300 million payroll, the answer is no, they don't. No, they don't, because Zach Greinke's, you know, might be leaving. He's going to be a free agent. These guys are getting old. One of those kids should have been traded for a legit third starter so Brett Anderson doesn't give up 1,000 runs in Game 3.
Matt Money Smith is co-host of the Petros Money Radio Show at AM 570 LA Sports. Hey, one real quick thing before you go. You get anything in the mail this week of interest, Matt?
Oh, I was just going to ask. It's funny. You know, my kids are learning about international currency because of you being. I still have, and I don't know if you saw the tweet that I sent out with the photo of the pesos and the
yes, I did see
Canadian
that, yes.
dollars. But it's funny because my middle daughter, Parker, asked me just last night, as a matter of fact, when we were watching baseball together, hey, Dad, when is that guy sending you your money?
So you haven't gotten anything back?
Expected. It has not come yet. And she's like, remember he sent you the stars? I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. And remember when he sent you?
This is losing a bet and then making it difficult for money to cash.
It was origami dollars last year.
Which so perfectly coincided with the price of their hot lunch. You know, the $5 were folded into. So, yes, we are very much looking forward. The whole family being looking forward to it.
Thank you, buddy. Sorry for your loss, but we appreciate you coming on and talking to us about it. We'll see you again soon, all right?
All right, guys. We'll talk to you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
We would like to talk to you on the show. If you want to be part of the Kevin and Bean program for a Friday, what's good? Now's the time to pick up the phone and give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. You can call on any topic. Ted, you listen to the show sometimes. Ted Stryker's here in for Ralph Garman. When you're out and about doing your things in the morning, do you ever think, why aren't Kevin and Bean talking about, and then fill in the blank?
No.
That doesn't help
us. No, I'm just kidding. No, of course I do.
That's less than helpful
right
now.
All the time. I listen to you guys 92% of the time when I am in my car when you're on from 6 to 10. In the last couple years, I am always up early, always listening. It is crazy for me to be even on the show with you guys. But to answer your question, the answer is yes.
Okay, good. Because that's why we brought this segment back, and it's had various names over the years, but it's What's Good right now, and it's your opportunity to steer the show in the direction you think it needs to be going. I mean, we've had people call with all sorts of interesting stuff that we didn't know about, stuff that we hadn't talked about yet, but whatever it is on your mind right now. If you got a question or if you got a comment, you can call us now, 1-800-520-1067. You can also always text us to number 2 KROQ as well, and we'll get your calls on right after 9. Time for another look at the showbiz beat now. Here's Stryker in for Ralph Garman.
I got something to say about that. So, you know, I normally come to K-Rock at 1:30, and this is for the K-Rock listeners. So I got here at 5:30. I'm never up that early. I'm never at K-Rock that time. But walking into the building at that time, there's such a good energy with this team working here. And I know Ralph's not here today, and Ralph does the showbiz. And on paper, showbiz seems really easy. All you do, you come in, you talk about some crappy stories on the internet. It's not that, like, talking like this, hey, I'm okay.
Right.
It is a lot more difficult than I think one thinks. And Ralph makes it look so damn easy, like he's not reading, and he changes up the stories. And I'm like, what the hell am I going to talk about with these stories?
He does that well, and he also has 1,000 voices. So if you want us to speak to any of your voices, we could do that today.
I'm going to stick with this horrible voice I have right here. This is a voice which your Ravens just go down the tube with this voice right now. Okay. So I'm apologizing right now, but Michael Chiklis was here. That was cool. He had money on. I get to talk about the Dodgers. It's very nice. All right, Lena Dunham. There you go. I knew that was coming. Being Lena Dunham, well, she has shed her clothes yet again, and this time it's for fashion. In a magazine, which I hate to say, it's been around since 1867, Harper's Bazaar. I've never once purchased it.
Same.
Or looked at it. Or same. I never knew it's been around since 1867. A magazine, Harper's Bazaar. I don't know.
I don't either.
But here's what I want to say about Lena Dunham. She is talented and smart, and what I like about it, she has a vision and she sticks to it. And it lets me mention that her boyfriend Jack Antonoff from Fun and Bleachers, I have seen Bleachers so many times at music festivals the last 2 years. Those guys are so good.
Wait, did you do that story just to get to Bleachers?
That's right. Yep. And I wanted to mention that I've never even seen Harper's Bazaar magazine.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
The 5th season of Girls will be starting up soon, and Lena Dunham just sold a show called Max to HBO. So she works, she gets naked, and kudos to her. I like her a lot. All right, Penelope Cruz, everybody. Penelope Cruz, you guys, she's the best. So she went to go see U2 in Barcelona, 24,000 people there, and U2 saw Penelope Cruz and her husband, Javier Bardem, who I really like. Prick a side of the coin. Prick a side of the coin. Prick it. Choose it. Wash or what? Prick the coin.
There's your voice right there.
There's my voice. Holy S. Oh, man. Damn it. So they brought up Penelope Cruz on stage, and what did she do? She took a picture. And then she stayed, and she took another one, and then she asked the guys to pose with Javier, and she kept taking pictures. So basically,
this
she was
in the middle of a show.
That's right.
All right.
During the show, she stayed on stage and took as many pictures till she thought, "Hey, I'm cool with the pictures." And then she was done. And then Javier, who I believe is an Oscar winner, they went back in the crowd, which I think is pretty cool. I like that couple right there. All right, former Playboy playmates, the Shannon twins, Carissa and Christina, who posed for the magazine before the magazine said, "We're not going to allow nudity anymore." You guys heard about that, right?
Yeah, it's quite a decision.
Playboy.
That's all they do.
That's why you live in the magazine.
Yeah.
Is the nudity. Well, anyway, I'll get to the point of the story after I mention they rolled over their G-Wagon in an accident in Beverly Hills. One of the twins was booked for a DUI. It looked like it was daytime. But what were they doing in the day besides drunk? Where were they going? They were going to have their nipples pierced. Now.
Okay.
Yes. So they got drunk and they said, "Hey, we're twins. Let's go get our breasts pierced."
Right.
And I'm thinking at their age, and they're still fairly young, upper 20s, but I always think if you're going to do the piercings and the lunacy, I think there's like an age limit where you kind of stop. Do you guys agree with that or not?
I don't really have an opinion on that either way. I don't care, although it does.
I don't
is
care
this the first
they
time
do
they've
it.
Ever done something like that?
I have not seen their boobs ever in my life.
Well, that's a
my
problem
girls
right
listening,
there.
I swear on that. Katie, I've never seen their breasts. I have seen breasts in my life. Their breasts. I have never seen their breasts. All right, celebrating a birthday today. David Zucker is 68. Tim Robbins. I love Tim Robbins. He is 57. Flea from Chili Peppers is 53, which is crazy. John Mayer is 38. I am Stryker, and I just ruined the showbiz beat.
By the way, Monday at this time, Dave Gahan.
What?
Dave Gahan.
That's the guy from Depeche Mode.
I think people know his name, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's very exciting. Looking forward to it. We're going to have a great show on Monday. Although, I'm not giving up on today's shows yet because we still got some good stuff coming up, including your phone calls at Kevin Bean's What's Good is on the air right now at 1-800-520-1067. This is when you call us and tell us what we should be talking about instead of the BS that we are talking about. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
I think Robert is going to be the perfect What's Good caller. He'll get us started from Westminster on line one, please.
All right, Robert. Good morning.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We are good. What's good with you?
All right. So right now, I am on my way to Milpitas for a weekend-long mock battle event.
I'm sorry.
Like a Civil War reenactment? Something like that?
Oh, no. That's for losers. This is medieval time.
I'm sorry. That's for losers. But what you're doing is for winners.
Absolutely.
It's the whole weekend?
You betcha.
Are you reenacting real battles?
Well, it's not really, it's not reenacting. It's, what we do is we all show up in our costumes and our armor made out of steel plates or leather, and we have weapons made out of bamboo or piping and things like that, and we meet on the field and divide ourselves into teams, and the last team with soldiers left alive on the field wins.
And are there rules? I mean, is this a competition like a sport where there are rules and there it's easily defined who wins and who loses?
Yeah, it's definitely about the sport of combat, and there are a lot of rules because safety is a big deal. In fact, at the last event I went to, there were a lot of broken hands.
Wow. Are you doing it because you lost a bet?
No, I'm doing it because I want to kill people.
When somebody breaks their hand at a medieval times mock battle, what story do they tell their friends about how they got hurt?
Well, their friends are usually in mock battle as well.
Yeah, of course. Sure. Those would be the only friends they'd have, of course. Yeah. Sure. What is the character that you will play this weekend, Robert?
I'm going to be playing a Scottish Highlander.
Sure. Okay. All right. And is that based on anyone real, or is that, again, just made up from your fertile imagination?
From my fertile imagination. Just a general character.
Okay. And this conversation is a lady killer for you?
Actually, there are a lot of
don't
single
say
women
it.
Who go to...
Do not say it. It's just not true.
He's saying there are a lot of women who go to medieval times events, Kevin.
That's just not true.
You don't know, man. All right, Robert. Well, listen, I have to say it is not for me, but I appreciate you and how enthusiastic you are about this event. And I hope you have a great time and don't get hurt, okay?
Thanks a lot. Take care, guys.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Hey, okay, bye-bye.
Huh.
How about
Didn't
that?
See that coming.
Nope.
Let's try Mike Santa Monica, please, up next, line two. Kevin Beans, what's good?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. I was interested in getting your opinion on legalized sports betting, which is apparently on its way. I'm sure you've heard about the fact that they're going to retry this case in New Jersey. In fact, I'm looking at a headline right now that says New Jersey should have sports betting by Super Bowl as rehearing is granted. Haven't heard Rome say a thing about it.
Here's what I don't understand. I don't understand how California can be in such trouble financially and not do that or not legalize weed. Like, there are a lot of ways they could make a ton of dough.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't understand what the fear is of legalized sports betting. I really don't. I mean, you let people buy as many lottery tickets as they want. What's the difference if they spend that $50 instead, you know, putting money down on the Giants?
Well, I understand it, there was something called the POSCO Act passed in 92 where Sheldon Adelson and other casino owners blocked all of the other states from participating in sports gambling.
Why casino owners would be against it, of course. They want to be the only game in town in terms of where you go to spend money. I'm trying to figure out, like Kevin is, why the state of California doesn't allow it, why they don't see the tremendous upside for it.
Right now. That decision needs to be overturned, and apparently they're in the process of doing exactly that.
Yeah, well, that's good. We both agree.
Yeah, I hope it happens. You know, I hear a lot about this in my state of Washington, too. I mean, it's you can go to jail for putting a $5 bet down on online poker in the state of Washington. Yet we live in a state where weed is legal.
Yeah,
you know, it just seems out of whack, doesn't it? I hope that happens. Appreciate the call. Great point that you bring up. Thank you so much. Let's go to Manuel, Culver City. He's up next, line three. He's calling about a topic that we were talking about yesterday, about all the different ways that people try to get a jury duty. It seems like they've clamped down on a lot of them. They're making it much harder to not do your civic duty anymore, and I think that's what Manuel's calling about.
Hey there.
Good morning. What's good?
What's good? Tell
us.
Good.
I was telling the screener that I have a sister who ended up in the hospital in May of this year, and she's still in the hospital. She had a massive brain hemorrhage.
She got
a letter about 2 weeks after that. You know, the jury badge, they send you the letter already with your badge, and you're supposed to show up at a certain time.
Right.
And I called, and I said, you know what, my sister's in the hospital. The guy said, okay, well, we're going to send you some paperwork the doctor needs to sign. I took paperwork to the doctor. The doctor said he can't sign anything until my sister gets out of the hospital. Until today, my sister is still in the hospital. I got a letter last week, like a little postcard, but a big red postcard, warning, you know, we're going to send out a warrant. If you don't answer, you know, you haven't replied and this and that. And I got really upset, and I called again. I was on an hour waiting. I called the agent. The agent said that what they're going to do is they're going to send out another form, another form.
Right.
We had to fill out. I had to personally fill out certain boxes. I had to take the form to the hospital. I had to get the doctor. I had to grab my sister's hand and have her at least try to write an X. My sister can't move her arm. She can't talk. She can't open her eyes.
That's unbelievable.
At least have her write an X, and the doctor has to witness it. And write down that he witnessed that my sister is not able to go to jury duty.
It is incredible. So, in other words, what's happening is what should happen is they should send the notice and you should send it back with a post-it on it that says, sister had stroke in hospital, and that should be the end of it. But I guess what has happened is so many people have made up so many stories that now they demand that you prove it, even if you have to jump through hurdles to do so.
So I guess the only way you can get out of it is if, like they said yesterday, you claim conscientious, whatever it's called, or
objection.
You're dead. One of the two.
Wow, I'm sorry about your sister, dude. That sucks.
Yeah,
that does
suck.
The state's not making it any easier for you. Like, you don't have enough on your mind. That's a real bummer, dude. But I hope she comes out of it.
Well, you know, we have to deal with funeral arrangements and everything else beforehand, and they want you to worry about her jury service. I don't get it. I mean, I really don't understand.
Gotcha. All right, Manuel, good luck to you, my friend. All right, we got to go out on a happy note, Kevin. We got to take one more call. Which one is most likely to leave us feeling satisfied, warm, and fuzzy after this segment?
None of them. I would say zero.
All right, thanks. This has been What's Good?
What's Good?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 922.
Okay, I'm going to say two names that are going to take our listeners back right now. Remember 10 years ago when there was a thing called Spencer Pratt and there was another thing called Heidi Montag? Remember them? Big-time reality stars from The Hills.
And also, well, King and Queen of America.
Hi, Spencer. Believe it or not, they are back. Let's hear the intro and then let's find out what's new with Spidey.
I live and breathe, I would say, pop culture and the entertainment business. I currently am in a partnership with the next Jay-Z. I won't go to a club now for less than $100,000.
You say villain, some people say jerk. I mean, tomato, tomato.
I'm too rich and I'm too famous to be sitting with these people and cleaning up their in the jungle, my man. And this cast is devaluing our fame right now. I'm sitting next to VH1 comedians that I've never even seen before. I'm a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I kickbox. I box every day. I don't fear no man.
That's right. Oh, that's so very true.
Wow, that's quite a flashback. We missed you, man. How are you?
Hicks and Gracie had a fight.
You didn't.
I did.
I don't think that's true at all.
I worked on Kobe Bryant's jump shot all summer long.
Well, listen, you said they were devaluing your fame, and now according to this new interview you and your wife have done with Complex Magazine, things aren't going so great for you in that you had to move in with your dad and you're living at home as a married couple with your dad.
It's all like the game of surprise, supply and demand. Anybody know about that? You know what I'm saying there, brah?
No.
Hey, Kendall. How are you, buddy?
It's Kevin.
Kevin.
Supply and demand. I don't understand what that has to do with.
What I'm saying is potato, potato. Look at it this way. Firstly, let's all just take a moment of silence. Sick silence.
For what?
Christian Audige passed away. He created Ed Hardy Clothing. Sick. R.I.P. What? Rhinestones.
Spencer, what do you do for a living now? Like, where do you get money?
Well, I'm working on a movie with Marty Scorsese and Paul Hogan.
Nope.
Where we
Paul
are.
Crocodile Dundee.
That's right.
That's a team right there.
Well, Sharknado, we off the popularity of that, we're working on Goat Nami.
I would actually like to see that. I have
sick
to be honest.
Goats from Malibu,
right?
That are wealthy. Mm-hmm. They get mad that there's poor people and there's people with like dark colored skin in the world, and a tsunami picks them up and they attack. Sick.
Okay, I would like to see that. Movie. All right, let me ask you about a couple of
made of diamonds, and they're designed by Affliction.
Right. Yeah. Let me ask you about a couple of specific things in the Complex magazine article.
Hey, wait, little lady in the back, who are you?
I'm Chip. Hey, how's it going?
How are you, Charlie? Listen,
Chip.
Captain, I just really like you. You seem very white, and that's a big plus. Are your legs made of Nutella?
No, not really.
Because I'd really like to spread them.
Okay. All right. Hey. Listen, Spencer.
Wow. Hey.
First of all, you're still married to Heidi, right? You guys are together forever.
I invented the open relationship. Hugh Hefner and I did that in 1941.
He did that on his own, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet what we did. You know, it was right.
Let me ask you about
Project.
Some things in the article. All right, Spencer. Seriously, though, some things in the article that I just was blown away by.
I forgot how much I hated Spencer.
What?
Yes. You are the host, according to this article.
Love to hate you. Love to hate me. I'm rich. I'm powerful.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
None of those things.
All right.
You host two podcasts, and I want you to explain to me what they are about. One
WTF
is called,
with Spencer Pratt and
nope, that's Mark
the Joe
Maron's
Rogan
podcast.
Experience with Spencer Pratt
with Joe Rogan,
Adam Carolla show with Spencer Pratt.
That's Adam Carolla show. You host the Spicin Hour and the Sheriff of Baghdad. What are those podcasts about, Spencer?
What's the Spicin Hour?
The Spicin Hour is where Heidi and I smoke spice, and then we talk about existential problems that we deal with as powerful and wealthy individuals. And the Sheriff of Baghdad is actually us writing the script for our upcoming film in 2017, which stars Bronson Pinchot and Christian Slater, where we take back Baghdad in the Mesopotamian era using blackberries.
Using blackberries?
Yeah. And not even the phone, like the actual berry.
Also of note in the article, the couple spent more than $3 million on Heidi's music career.
That's right.
Looking back, was that a good investment?
Of course it was. She sold 40 million records just in 1 year. She's the highest selling female artist ever. A lot of people believe, and I'm not here to substantiate it, but Whitney Houston actually killed herself because of Heidi coming on.
That's absurd.
Yeah, it's true.
All of what you're saying is
Janet
false.
Jackson is jealous.
Okay.
Sick.
And also in the Complex article with Spencer and Heidi, it says that you were asked by Kris Jenner to manage Kim Kardashian and turned it down.
I did because I felt like she would be devaluing our fame, and I realized that she is Armenian. And I checked her out over a size zero, which means she might as well be dead to me, okay? It's like Logan's Run, buddy. You reach 30, you're dead. If you're a female, you reach over size zero, you're dead. I keep Heidi on a very consistent diet to make sure that she stays the Aryan queen that I made her to be, and she eats nothing but methamphetamine and boogers.
But Spencer, you love money and you love fame. Kim Kardashian would have been both of those things for you.
Yeah, but I don't even leave my house for less than $1.3 million.
Right, you said that all the time, but you're not rich now, are you?
Ballin'. Out of control, buddy. Sick.
Where do you get income?
Where do I get income?
Mm-hmm.
Well, from all of my different streams. It's like my income, my bank account's like one big river, and there's like tributaries coming in, you know.
Name a couple of them. How do you make money?
I'm John Jones's head coach.
That's not true.
I am Leo DiCaprio's acting coach.
Not true.
Yes, I design Merkins for Barbara Hershey.
That could be true. I'm not positive.
I don't know the answer to that one either.
I keep consistently inventing currencies around the world.
I don't think any of that's true.
I started the dark web.
Didn't start the dark
web.
I'm
Edward Snowden.
You're not Edward Snowden. So can you go away for 10 more years, and then we'll see where you're at when you're 50, all right?
After 10 more years, it's just going to be – it's not even going to be Earth, brah. It's going to be Spenceezy.
Okay.
Sick.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
Ralph Garman has been on vacation all this week. I promise he will be back Monday in that chair doing the showbiz beat. But in the meantime, Stryker, thanks so much for coming in today. It's been really fun seeing you.
It's been fun seeing you guys as well. I know I just said it an hour ago, but I love coming in here with you guys. Such a fun energy. It's so different than when I'm on at 2 o'clock and seeing you guys, and you make it look so damn easy.
Well, I mean, it's bad.
You're Hall of Famers.
Yeah, well,
you're Hall of Famers, you guys.
Yeah.
You guys are Green Day, and I'm like a band that no one goes to in Silver Lake.
Well, look, you got one more chance to turn it around.
Okay.
So here's your final showbiz beat of the
week.
Here
we go. I'm stretching out right now. First of all, listen, everybody should know it's National Boss Day. Today is National Boss Day, so be nice to your boss if you're driving to work right now. It is National Boss Day, which this allows me to say, I probably have the best boss in all of Los Angeles. He is a wonderful boss.
Suck up you are.
You
have a different
boss
than we do then?
No, same boss.
Oh, really?
Bean.
Wait,
so he's
good.
Nice to you?
What? Wait.
Yes. Wow. I'm following my own advice as I'm saying, be nice to your boss today.
Okay.
And this allows me to thank the previous bosses I have had in Los Angeles before I worked at K-Rock.
Okay.
31 Flavors in Brentwood at the corner of Barrington and Sunset. A wonderful boss there. Then I moved on, in my 20s, mind you, to the supermarket Vicente Foods on San Vicente.
Sweet.
They did not allow me to be a cashier there. I was a grown man bad boy. Does not feel good when you're a grown man bad boy.
You can't have too much responsibility.
No.
That's the problem.
Then I moved on as the head pool guy at the Four Seasons in Beverly Hills and had just a terrific boss there.
Okay.
Yep. And then now my boss
Are you making
here.
This up?
No.
Oh.
No. Not at
You've
all.
You had a weird life.
Yeah. Yeah, the Four Seasons job, by the way, as the pool guy, I mean, I don't remember if it was $6 an hour or $9 an hour, but the tips were crazy that I made there. Every celebrity in the world came there. I got them cigarettes. I got them towels. I told them where to sit. It was really a fun job. After today, they'll probably hire me right back there. All right. Let's see. Let's talk about Katy Perry. Katy Perry has sold over 81 million singles, a ton of records. Some of her videos have 1 billion views. Before she was Katy Perry, she was Katie Hudson, and she sang with a band, a K-Rock band, P.O.D., who have put out 10 albums. She sang on a song called Goodbye For Now, was on their 6th album, and actually, appeared on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and this is a little clip of that song. Check it out. That's Katie with P.O.D. I still don't know what she's saying, though.
Yeah, same.
Well, that's unintelligible.
Yeah, I have no clue what was going on there. But here's the deal about Katy Perry. She's just not somebody who came along. Yes, she's got a great look. She is hot. But she is a worker.
Yeah, I agree.
Before she became famous, she was a worker. And Glenn Ballard, who's a wizard producer, hooked up P.O.D. with Katy Perry. And that song was called Goodbye For Now from the sixth album of P.O.D. All right, ESPN reporter Erin Andrews reveals she is seeking $75 million. Do you guys remember when she was secretly videotaped nude while in a hotel? Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, wasn't that like 10 years ago or something?
No. It was way less than that.
Oh.
It was a Marriott, and this scumbag dude named Michael Barrett, he videotaped her undressing without her even knowing.
Right.
So this guy admitted that he followed Erin Andrews through Tennessee, Ohio, and Wisconsin, requesting rooms adjacent to where she was staying. Now, the question is, how did he convince Marriott, I want her room number and I want to admit it. I don't know how that happened, but she is seeking $75 million, which is a lot of money, but what a horrible feeling that must be for her. And this guy, by the way, only got 2.5 years in prison.
And he worked on the broadcast crew, right? That's why he was traveling with her. He was part of the TV crew.
Oh, I didn't remember that part.
I don't remember that part either. Bean, I'm not 100% on that.
Okay. I mean, you can argue about the amount of money. I mean, it's tough to put a number on what she went through and how it changed her life. But I think it's legit to point out, hey, what are these hotels doing giving somebody a room next to mine? Why, letting some guy request to be in the room next to mine, you know? And how are they allowing that to happen? It does seem a little creepy. And then what? He would literally get there early and drill through the wall?
This guy was smart enough to know how to put a camera in a peephole, so I think he probably had some scam to fool the hotel why he should be next to her.
I hope she gets lots of money for that.
I hope so, too. I hope she does. And I like the Marriott, by the way, especially the one down in Palm Desert. Pretty fun. All right, let's talk about Drake. And this story is for those that watch Degrassi. And Steve Agee, stand-up comedian, always talks about this show. But Drake said that he focused too much on his music career when he was on that show. He was just 14 years old when he was on that show.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said he got booted off that show just because he wanted to focus on his music career.
Right.
And we've seen what's happened with Drake since then. He said he wanted to be in this life more than an acting life. But again, this is a guy, and I know maybe many people would say, oh, Drake, he's unlucky. This Drake is good.
I like him, too.
You do, Kevin.
Yeah, agreed.
Did you watch his performance at Coachella?
I did not. I lost myself at Coachella.
No! No! You lost yourself at Coachella?
I'm not positive what I saw.
Did you ever watch the series?
I didn't. No, I never watched it.
Bean, this is a series you probably checked out, right?
Yeah, definitely. I've seen it. I mean, yeah, it was fine. It was fine.
So anyway, there's that story.
Yeah.
So what's the point? The point of your story was that he, now that he's made it so big in music, he wants to go back to acting? Is that where we're at?
He does not want to do that. I think the point of the story is he wants everyone to know that while he was on this show, he was busting his ass till 5 in the morning in a studio writing lyrics. He would get to the set at 9, sleep in his room, go on the set, and he was a kid. And they said, look, you're doing a good job, but you have to choose. And he wanted music, and so they let him go.
All right.
And the guy's doing incredible. All right, let's talk about Miley Cyrus, who, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but I saw her at one of our Almost Acoustic Christmas nights.
Okay.
I think she was there to watch Cage the Elephant.
I don't remember those shows.
You don't remember those shows?
No, I'm just kidding.
Do you remember,
I'm just kidding.
You're going to remember this,
I don't remember
Kevin.
Seeing her.
Yeah, she was there. She was there to support Cage the Elephant, who, by the way, have a new album coming out in December, and it's produced by Dan from the Black Keys. I can't wait to see that. But this, what I'm going to tell you, is all according to Radar Online regarding Miley Cyrus. If this is true, someone's got to help this poor girl.
All right.
A week before she was set to host Saturday Night Live, Cyrus and some pals set out on a camping trip where the singer's recreational drug use spun way out of control. One of her friends told her to lick some weird banana slug. Which is, I guess, I don't know what a banana slug is, but it's drug-related. She got really sick, her tongue swelled out of her mouth, and she had to take antibiotics and steroid shots all week long. Get to SNL, Apparently, this is according to a source in Radar Online. I'm not making this up. Cyrus made no attempt to hide her drug use from the people on the set. She was stoned for the entire show, the insider revealed. She was smoking blunts all week long, chain smoking them.
Yeah.
And Miley, again, and I'm saying this on K-Rock, and maybe it's the you're supposed to say how you don't like certain people. I like Miley Cyrus. I
so
think she's
Bean.
Talented. Do you, Bean?
Bean likes
huge her. Fan. Huge fan of hers, yeah. I don't think she needs to smoke dope all the time, which is what apparently she does, but she sure seems to enjoy it.
And I think she's doing, I think, more than smoking dope, but I hope she is not. I hope that's just it, because I like Miley, but I like the K-Rock stuff, too. All right, let's talk about the birthdays here. Are we on time? Or are you,
sure.
We're on right here? Okay. All right, celebrating a birthday today. I can't believe I'm almost done. I'm having separation anxiety from you guys right now. Seriously, I have it's not
we'll
even
stay
done.
Up for another hour.
Okay, perfect. No, I'm going to breakfast. I'm sorry. Filmmaker David Zucker is 68. Tim Robbins, who is incredible in Top Gun, is 57. He was in that. Red Hot Chili Pepper bassist Flea is 53. John Mayer is 38. Oh, man, I can't believe it's almost done. I'm Stryker in for the awesome Ralph Garman, and I'm sorry that I ruined the showbiz beat.
Thank you for coming in, Stryker. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Monday morning's Kevin and Bean show is bigger than I think any other. I'm not quite sure how it happened, but we do have Jimmy Kimmel, and we have Churches in studio to perform live, and we have Chris Hardwick, and we have Andrew Siciliano, and we have Dave Gahan.
Damn.
Dave
That's
Gahan.
Good.
That's a pretty good show.
I'll be here.
That's a lot of show. Well, that's Ralph's back, though, so.
Okay, so I won't be here. I'll be listening, and I can't believe I can sing the song.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, world. Check me out.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Get your s*** together.
Roll another one.
Janky.
Just like the other one.
So my question to you is,
this was seems to be about to quit.
Now, let's get this
and
over with.
Another hit.
And what's the problem?
I'm too high.
You're too high?
Yeah.
What'd you take?
Weed.
Weed?
Yes.
Roll another one.
Did you hear the fart just then?
Just like the other one.
This is weird. Can I go home
this
now?
This seems to be about to end.
Start your letters now.
I don't have another sense.
I've heard rumors that you have pound for pound the largest penis in Hollywood. Is this true?
How do you think the show's going so far?
I think it's weak.
Just pass it around.
Wow. Yeah.
This is honestly so stupid.
I just want to tell you both, good luck. We're all counting on you.
Why y'all look shocked? This family never been a real family. I'm out of here, and I ain't never coming back.
Yeah, I really want to punch you all in the face, except for Allie, because she's a girl. Instead, I'll write her a strongly worded email, and then we can just all move on from this great tragedy. You guys are all dumb and stupid. What am I doing with my life?
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Love you guys. Have a great day. Popo's out.